Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure to introduce the best of the best, Best in Show.
Welcome!
I'm trying to stop singing on mic. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Best Intro, bestintroradio.com, here on Hear Us Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. Tonight it's going to be hot. It's going to be nasty. It's going to be sexy, and I want to see all you people up front moshing real hard. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Best in Show, bestintroradio.com. As I aforementioned, if you want to be a part of this program, you can call us. It's, I was just going to say 877. It's 347-767-4BIS. That's 347-767-4247, I think. Awesome. We're also over in HearUsTalk.com and PalTalk, all that great magical stuff. I'm going to be hanging with you guys for about 3 hours tonight, give or take, maybe a few minutes here, a few minutes there. My name's Chris. I hope you'll spend some time with me. As I look across the table, I see my lover, my partner, my friend, my everything, the person that I really just can't live without. His name's Keith.
Hey, Chris, and, you know, just to let you know, I'll also be trying to keep that energy level up with you tonight, because tonight's show is going to be really hot.
I'm going to say you failed already. You know, if I had somebody here yelling, hanging, banging, chilling, and whatnot, maybe all of a sudden the energy would be here. We'd be amped up. We'd be crazy. I don't know. Who do you think could fill that role? Fred?
So good.
I'm beat. Jesus Christ.
I am beat today. Wow. Long week.
What's the problem?
Just tired. Just tired, man. Real tired.
Way to sell it. I got you.
Just can't keep my eyes open for some reason.
I don't know. I hope the guy running the board has his eyes open. His name's Brown.
Barely.
Oh, good.
Sorry.
Good.
You're on your own, Chris.
I'm an island. Surprising.
Pretty much
very surprising.
You, I got to say, you are pretty wound up today. You're unusually wound up. Almost cheerful, which is a dangerous state for you. What is it? What's doing it?
Got a lot of things going on right now. Let me just start off right off the bat with tomorrow night. I'm going to be in Atlantic City tearing it up with my buddies. Hear Us Talk Radio style. We're going to be crushing the Tropicana tomorrow night in Atlantic City. If you guys are not already planning to be there, you're dumb. Start planning now. It's going to be magnificent. There's going to be all sorts of, I don't know, Atlantic City things. I guess gambling and food and dancing and karaoke.
Casinos and stuff?
Casinos. Oh, they have casinos there? No, we're not going to the Foxwoods. We're going to Atlantic City. But I'm excited for that. And moreover, I've gone 5 days without having caffeine, and today one of my coworkers came back from the coffee place that I used to love and brought me a white mocha, and I drank it, and I proceeded to be nauseous for the next 3 hours, and now I think I've settled down, so it's almost like a – it's not that I'm still caffeinated. I'm relieved from being caffeinated earlier and feeling better, so I think that's got me in a better
– Did you have any problems when you stopped? Because I about a week ago, I tried to stop drinking coffee. I wanted to stop caffeine, and I just felt horrible that day with all the things that I've put my body through and then stopped doing. Caffeine was the one that just destroyed me.
Headaches, massive.
Believe
headaches.
It or not, I didn't get that. That's what I've heard, but I didn't get a headache. But I actually that night I did a little bit, so maybe that I guess that had something to do with it. But I just felt like bad, like my body just felt bad.
I'm telling you, I always have headaches, so whether I have caffeine or not doesn't make a difference. My high blood pressure makes my head just throb constantly.
I always say this. Caffeine, why would you stop? Why would you stop doing it? I mean, what does it really take that much of a toll on you?
Have you not picked up? Well, I have high blood pressure. I shouldn't do caffeine. I shouldn't do sodium. It's the health show. It's best in show. This is what we do.
I'm a huge coffee guy. I love coffee, and I actually just drank it like water. Like, I literally go through maybe four pots a day.
It's actually liquid.
There's liquid involved, certainly.
Just like water.
Mostly for me, it's cream and sugar and a little bit of, like,
you little sissy. Water. You get the latte like our buddy Germ Freak from...
No, I go straight coffee. I'm not gay.
I understood.
So, yeah, I go with the regular coffee with, like, loaded up with cream and sugar. Except... It happened when I was working nights. I had to stop doing it because I just couldn't sleep during the day while I was drinking coffee during the night, which was horrible because when you stop drinking coffee and you're driving late at night, like, I ended up falling asleep or wanting to fall asleep at the wheel a lot.
I don't feel crashes from caffeine. And I think if I stopped, I wouldn't feel an over, high of it either.
When did you stop, though?
While he's sleeping.
There'll be some days I'll go without coffee, especially when it gets hot out, like during the summertime. Like, I won't wake up with a cup of coffee. Like, I'll have just like a seltzer or something like
that. That's weird. If you drink coffee at all, I would think you should start your day with coffee and at least drink coffee till noonish at least. I think most people should drink coffee. Well, not should, but do drink coffee throughout the day. I miss it.
I used to drink it all day long. I haven't had a cup of coffee in maybe 2 weeks.
Dutch clutch.
I splurge on a weekend once every 2 weeks or so. Now it's for me. I do tea. I drink tea in the morning.
Caffeinated tea, or is it?
It's
like
caffeinated tea, but it's not the same thing.
You, no, it's not.
Do not feel the same way drinking a large cup of tea as you do drinking.
See,
a large cup
when of when I called my wife to tell her that I thought I was having a heart attack from the caffeine that I had had, she said, "Well, you should have tea." I'm just like, "There's caffeine in that too. You're trying to kill me even worse. I gotta go." And as I got off the phone, and I felt fine.
Not like coffee though. Coffee is just bad for you anyway because of the. There's so many other bad things.
Neurotoxins.
About those.
There's lots of neurotoxins in coffee.
Especially the reason I try to stop was because the one thing that was still giving me heartburn was coffee. Everything else was fine. Hot sauce, anything like that. Coffee, or if I happen to try to eat Dunkin' Donuts for some reason, that's just one of the worst things too. But
can I say, speaking of hot sauce, I feel like it's 186 degrees in here. Is it me?
Yeah, definitely.
It is me.
Yeah.
You don't feel hot at all?
No. I mean, I have short sleeves on, and I almost feel a slight chill.
It's his goddamn caffeine. You guys don't mind if I do the shirt topless, do you?
You do have, like, a glistening sweat over your brow, too. I was going to say caffeine is the wimpiest of the drugs. I mean, if you're
obviously
all jacked up on caffeine.
Obviously.
You can get really jacked up on it, though.
Isn't tobacco kind of wimpy? Is caffeine wimpier than tobacco?
Well, tobacco kills you.
Well, tobacco's, makes you a man. Whoa, tobacco's not the drug. Nicotine is the drug, right? Technically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say
I'm not a doctor.
Yeah. So if you're walking around with a patch on, you're not. You're
but
not
hold on a second, Brown. Your old DJ name, your tag was Nicotine. So how do you not know all about the
I don't know what you're talking about.
Traverses of Zevises of related.
You know, one of my MCs was Caffeine.
You guys are the worst.
No, it's awesome.
I would say if you just cut back on the sodium, I bet you can have all the caffeine that you want.
I'm down with the sodium. I blodium. I don't know.
You were another one of his MCs, so
yeah, obviously. No, I don't know. I don't think that the caffeine has anything to do with it, except for the fact that right now I feel better. I feel good. I don't feel crummy like I did before. Because it upset my stomach. I'll be honest. Let me bring this full circle. I'll bring it even further. I think that it's that the only problem with me isn't caffeine. Yesterday afternoon at work.
You just realized.
Yesterday, our buddy the Hutch at work says, "Oh, Chris, I brought you those olives." I was like, "What? I brought you those olives that I told you about." Apparently, a few months back when I wasn't at work one day, he brought some special olives into work that everyone tried, and most people at my job were like freaked out and grossed out by these olives. I was one of the people that tried that he thought this olive was like. What he got, they're green olives. Stuffed with habanero peppers. Habanero, not jalapeno.
Those are the orange, really hot ones.
Ridiculous.
Right?
Apparently, he said they're Scotch bonnets. I thought Scotch bonnets and habaneros were different, but he's saying they're the same variety. I'm not sure. They're on that Scoville scale. They're really high. They're the ones that burn your face off and you hate them. I had them. Delicious.
Now, is it like the little olives that have the pimento stuffed in that size or with that size?
It was a little bit
pepper.
Bigger.
It's not like a full gigantic olive with a big full pepper in it.
It was a medium to large olive with a medium to large hunk of pepper. A lot of pepper.
Seeds? Any seeds? Pepper seeds? Because that's
I don't
hottest.
Think that I thought there might have been, but I didn't feel them pop in my mouth. All I'm going to say is It was like getting hit in the face with a shovel. It was really, really strong. It was good. It was delicious and tasteful, but it was painful.
How many did you have at one clip? You could just
I just had
one.
Two. Okay. I just had two of them. He gave me one, and he's like, yeah, you're not going to want more than one. I had the one, and a couple minutes later, I'm just like, can I have one more? Because I actually really kind of enjoyed it. I'm telling you, vinegar mixed with the hot is a crazy combination. It's gasoline on the fire.
Well, oh, really? I would think that vinegar would for some reason, would make it less.
It didn't. It didn't. It was, or whatever, if it's not straight vinegar, whatever else is in olive brine that makes it crazy. But it was harsh. It was good. Then, this afternoon, well, not even this afternoon, that late last night, this pepper decided at about 11 o'clock that it needed to exit my body immediately. I'm on a pretty strict schedule with my restroom regimen. I go at particular times. I have a whole routine. I know when I go, what I'm doing. This pepper decided that it didn't want to be there anymore. And at 11 o'clock at night, when it decided to come out, allow me to say its exit was much like lava or razor blades. And it was the worst feeling in the world.
It threw you an audible.
Oh, my God. Horrific. Horrific. It definitely threw me an audible.
Did you happen to be like sitting at your computer when it did or something?
it was rough business. It was totally, totally rough business. Then today, this afternoon, in the middle of my caffeine fit, I started getting major, major heartburn in the center of my chest, like right, you know, there. And all I ate today was the mildest stuff in the world. And I'm realizing, holy crap. This is the stupid habanero pepper again, kicking my ass a day later. It's fantastic.
So whatever you didn't get down started to crawl back up.
Apparently. Ugh. All I know is it was great.
That's how you know you're getting old.
You think? When
day two, the food is still attacking you.
You know, it's funny that happened with him with food. With me, that's drinks now. Like, I've gotten to the point where I actually need 48 hours. I need 2 days to recover from a night of drinking. The last time I did it was, I think it was this weekend or something like that. I don't know. And I woke up the next day and I actually had sharp stabbing pains in my chest. Like when I stood up, I had to sit back down because I was afraid I was going to something was wrong inside.
Could it just be the drink, or are you doing something else to yourself while you're drunken?
Smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
Lots of cigarettes.
Yeah. It's not helping.
No, definitely not.
Especially him, filterless Johnny over here.
I definitely think cigarettes have a lot to do with it. And the next day, like, I can't handle my booze anymore. Like, I'm pretty much nauseous all day. I vomit a couple times. Like, it's bad. It's a bad situation.
Every day?
And when I drink, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were implying that you drink every day. That's
no,
what I was asking.
No, I rarely drink. Maybe that's I got to drink more. I got to work up the tolerance.
But you drink whiskey when you go out, right?
I do.
You're not a beer
I do.
Guy.
I sometimes drink beer now, but mostly whiskey. But I mean, it used to be okay. I'd suffer for half of a day, a couple hours after I wake up, and now it's like all day long. And then I go to sleep. I only stay awake for half of the day, and then I go right back to sleep. And I wake up the next day, I still feel awful. Like it takes me 2 days to I gotta quit drinking.
You should have coffee when you wake up, then, and everything will feel so much better.
I know a lot of people say it's moderation or whatever, but honestly, I think vodka is a way better way to go. For some reason, I think vodka is. I think the other liquors are a lot harsher than like. I vodka, I don't see it making you that sick.
Yeah, I think you're nuts.
It's just alcohol.
I think vodka is just as. I understand there are ones that are probably harsher, but vodka is pretty rough business. I think it could damage you just as good.
I guess that's true. I just think of the amounts of it I've drank.
I'm thinking about the good old days, what I call my heyday, my golden years, the things I'd like to call what I'll be revisiting Friday night, those special days. And I think what'd I say? Did I say that on the air? No. But I think back to those days and those mason jars filled with Crystal Light and vodka, and I used to get terrible, terrible heartburn and chest pains from drinking that all the time. Granted, I like what I was saying to Brian. I think it had more to do with the other things I was doing that once I was pissed drunk, like, hey, we should have wings with some sort of dirt on them. Yeah.
But don't you think like 2 gallons of Crystal Light in a single sitting might also give you heartburn?
Yeah, especially if it's lemonade.
You might have a point. I never even thought about that for a second because I don't really drink Crystal Light anymore. Now that I don't mix it with vodka and I'm trying to watch my figure, I don't bother with the Crystal Light.
Crystal Light will stain your insides. It'll just do all sorts of weird things
I like those too many calories in Crystal Light for Chris. Like, he's on a diet. He can't have Crystal Light.
No, it's not that it's too many calories. It's kind of disgusting. And the only reason I was drinking it is because it was moderately less disgusting and to mix with vodka. And it was calorie-free, relatively good way to mix with vodka.
Oh, I drink tons of Crystal Light. Hey. I don't – just not only for drinking, like then the next day I'll
– For what? Not only for drinking. I use it for a car. Sometimes I fly at places.
I spread it on my face.
Do they not
it gives me advice.
It's great moisturizer. It's definitely someone to talk to.
Like, I always hear you guys complain. Luckily, I've never had heartburn. But I always hear you guys complain about, oh, this horrible heartburn. You know, my esophagus feels like it's going to, you know, melt away. Isn't there anything that you could take for that? Do they not have a cure for heartburn?
Prevacid, Prilosec. There's a bunch of them.
It works?
Prilosec worked fantastic for me, but if I ever forgot to take it while I was drinking, it sucked.
They each work for different people. Like, you kind of have to try three or four until you find the one that works for you.
Same like any drug.
And that's a thing that you have to take before you
every morning.
Not just before you're drinking. You have to take it every day.
Wow. Yeah, Prilosec was a once a morning thing. I actually think I was taking it once every 12 hours, I want to say.
Whoa.
So sometimes doctors, if it's really bad, will tell you to do that. Like, I take Nexium, but... Like, the Nexium, for the most part, I won't feel. If I eat, like, I could eat hot sauce, things like that, I won't feel it. Some things, they'll break through any of that stuff. I brought up Dunkin' Donuts, which I hardly ever eat, but those donuts, whatever they're fried in, whatever lard or whatever terrible thing they're fried in.
Lightning. I think they actually fry them in lightning.
That and, like, too much coffee will break through any of those drugs, I think. I don't think.
What is the side effects of Nexium? Do you know?
Never had any.
I've becoming a very, very depressed radio host, lamenting the sadness of your life.
I lost my heartburn, too.
I think poverty is a side effect of Nexium. It's very, very expensive stuff. It really is.
Well, the whole concept of eating these peppers and really enjoying myself with them, yes, it got me all psyched up because I'm the type of guy that loves when something new is introduced to me. And so I've gone on a frenzy over the past week, and I'm just realizing that I got to start sharing my finds in the world with you guys. And by you guys, I mean the listeners out there, all the friends and family of Hear Us Talk, everyone here in the room, everyone you've ever met. I got to start tweeting about it. I got to go crazy. I have like a list of like new products of things that I'm just finding out there. And don't get me wrong, when you hear what some of them are, they're not like new. They're the new, hot. But they're not like new things that don't exist in the world that other people haven't enjoyed. And
so it's
tried.
Just new to you, basically.
Well, some of them may be new, hot. Like I'll give you an example. I was talking to our buddy Barb today. I've been obsessively going back and forth with our buddy Barb today about the fact that there's this new...
Yeah, she's not new. I actually knew of her already.
Damn it. That's right.
Hot.
That's very true as well. But there's these new bracelets that are going around. That all the kids are going crazy for. All the youngins are going crazy.
Yellow
for.
Ones with rubber around them?
They're kind of
the pop bracelets.
Not Live Strong. Not Live Strong ones, but they're like little rubber band bracelets that go around. Yes. That go around your wrist.
Watches.
And when you take them off, these little rubber bracelet things take the shape of something else. Either some sort of funny animal.
Is that how that works? Because when I saw that you became a fan of those things Facebook, and I was thinking, how do you keep that
Keith,
dinosaur shape? How do you keep that dinosaur shape? Well, I have to play Scrabble, so
right,
how do you keep that dinosaur shape around your wrist? Like, I don't understand.
Oh, so it's like a slap bracelet that changes shape when you take it off.
It's not a slap bracelet, but it's a bracelet. So in that regard, it's the same as a slap bracelet.
What's a slap bracelet?
You don't know what slap bracelets are.
Never even heard that phrase.
Yeah. They were like a little piece of, I will bring you a slap bracelet for next week's show, and I want you to put it on 12 times and see if your hand falls off.
Didn't they cut people in grade school?
That's the whole point. I want to see if his hand falls off next week.
Can you tell me what it is, though? I don't.
It's like a piece of aluminium, as my high school chemistry teacher used to say, that's like wrapped in some sort of bracelet, and it stays solid, straight, and then when you hit it, it wraps around your hand. It bends. It becomes concave and goes around your hand.
Doesn't even sound the slightest bit familiar to me.
Oh, they're cool as hell, man.
But they're nothing like that. But
they're cool as hell in 1991, 2, 1989.
But then you could get all cool prints on them. Some had fur on them.
I had a Prince one, which was my cool
no,
print.
No, you did not.
No, I was lying.
You can also get words shaved in your head if you want.
Oh, my God. Keith's girl is talking about crew beads? What the hell are crew beads?
I guess I'm not part of a crew because I don't
know.
Oh,
man,
I
want to be down with some crew beads. I think, well, here's what I'm telling you. these new hot bracelets that have the shapes of animals and food and all sorts of things when they take them off. They're called Silly Bands. And Silly Bands, I think, are our new crew beats. I think we got to start bringing those hard and correct and like crazy. But the thing is, you can only order them online. You can't find them until my girl Barb hooks me up today, does a little searching, and she found the spot. Go to your local Walgreens, and they're the only place in the world that seems to have...
Really? I spend a lot of time in Walgreens.
Silly Bands. Go get them. I'm going to start loading up on them like crazy. My initial point was I wanted them for my daughter because it seemed like something like that a little kid would really love the hell out of. But I'm a little kid. I'll love the hell out of them. I think they're going to be the greatest thing in the world.
How many different...
I'm going to say 14,000. they had a bunch of different ones.
Do you remember back in the 80s, they used to have this thing called... I think it was called units or something like that, where it was a plastic thing that could be used as a belt, and then you could take it off and it could be used as like a tie, and you could use it as a wristband. I think there was something in the Staten Island Mall, I think, and it was just called units. I'm surprised you don't remember that.
No, I wish. I want to look for that. Units?
I think it was called...
You know it's with a Z, right?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, by the way, Silly Bands, definitely with a Z. Silly Bands. Enjoy them. I hope I can get some soon. I'm going to start giving them to all my friends. I love them.
Can you get me one that comes out in the shape of a donut?
I have news for you. They actually have ones that come in the shape of... No, not a donut. That was silly. They have pizza, though. They have pizza. They have hot dogs. I can't wait to wear hot dog ones. That's what I'm excited about.
This is the new jelly bracelets. You remember when jelly...
Of course. That's all there.
Jelly bracelets.
You don't know.
Keith, seriously, did you grow up ever...
No, you know that.
It seems like you were born at 30 years old.
Ask me for a lift somewhere, and then tell me if I grew up with it.
Wait, I got a test. Have you ever heard of a koosh? Come on, really?
Isn't that like a furry, it's like a ball you squeeze, and it has like little bumps on it?
Okay, good.
Okay.
No, I know what they are.
Well, sort of.
Like a porcupine. Oh, like
do you
a
know,
rubber
right,
porcupine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Do you have one of those little troll dolls?
I don't have them, but I know what they are.
Okay.
Yeah. But what are jelly bracelets?
They were just
the
regular
bracelets, like friendship bracelets that everyone had, and girls would have them all the way up their arm, or if you were a really flamboyant fellow like me, you had them too.
I know what those are, but I didn't know they were called jelly bracelets. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that if you're really cool, you would have the lanyard, the stuff that you weave?
Straight up, I'm throwing this out there. If anybody knows how to do lanyard, I want a box stitch or a cobra stitch bracelet. Get it to me as quick as possible. I would go crazy
to
do lanyard.
That. I love
Do you know
that.
How to do them?
No, not very well.
Let's start having lanyard classes. I want to join a lanyard class. If guitar teaching and World of Warcraft isn't enough for me, for those that don't know what I'm talking about, go back to last week's episode of Best in Show. I got to start doing lanyard.
I remember rocker kids that used to like lanyard snakes, like black and red. It was like, yeah.
Badass.
Badass, real badass.
Rocker kids. I like rocker kids. We're adults, 2010, talking about lanyard and the rocker kids. Well, Silly Bands is just one of the many products that are out there that I'm discovering. Silly Bands kind of new, but I've got a couple. A lot of them are food products, surprisingly. I think I don't know if I should go through the list. I'm probably not going to go through the list. I think this is something I'm going to start. I think maybe I'm going to give you like a pick a week or something like that. Start throwing some gems out there for you guys to enjoy.
Gems. I remember Gem.
Oh, Gem is excitement. She's outrageous.
I predict you will be done with Silly Bands before you even get your first one.
I suspect that you're probably right. I suspect that as I'm reading on the paper, I'm like, oh, man, I got to talk about Silly Bands. I'm telling you, Keith, before the show, down the block from Brian's house, we stopped at the deli. We actually came separately. I stopped at the deli down the street from Brian's house. I stopped and got my diet 7-Up, and I was actually texting Barb at that point out in front of the store, all excited, like, yeah, we got to get these Silly Bands. This is going to be awesome. This is going to be great, whatever. And as I'm doing it, Keith is sitting there looking
at
me.
You're done with your tweet. You're already done.
As I was half-tweeting, I was like, man, do I even want to get these things? No, that's not true. I'm psyched. I'm psyched to have a hot dog around my wrist. It's going to be the best thing ever.
But when you're wearing it, it doesn't look like a hot dog. It just looks like a regular band.
Yeah, it looks like, well, I'm sure it's got to look like something. I don't know. I only saw it on the internet.
I thought it, like, just takes the shape.
On the internet, because I talk like that now.
I thought it took the shape of a bracelet when you're wearing it, but when you took it off, then it bends into a
It's supposed to. It's supposed to. Also understand that my arms are, I thought, the size of tree trunks, so I don't even know if they're actually going to fit on my hands. So what do I even know? Oh, my God, I missed it. Our buddy Pristine in the chat room. We are the Misfits. Our songs are better. Oh, my God. I love Jem. She really is excitement.
The Misfits I know, too.
I know. No, not that other one. The other Misfits. The good Misfits.
The Misfits with a Z.
Yes.
And I mean M-I-Z. The Misfits.
Why can't we come up with something like that? Just something stupid like a Silly Band could just set you...
Best in Show Radio.
That's...
Got it.
You don't have to work
covered.
Anymore.
No, something that people will like, though, and something that people will like and take part in and enjoy.
Like OxyClean or something.
Yo, OxyClean, strangely, OxyClean was brought up to me this morning by the Hutch's girlfriend while we were driving to work this morning. She mentions the fact that OxyClean, that I should try OxyClean to clean sneakers. I was like, that crap doesn't work. I get all mad. But I will tell you that when I was thinking about Silly Bands, I was like, man, these people are geniuses. How did I not think of shaping a bracelet into a hot dog?
But you can't equate, like, in coming up with a cleaning product to just coming up with a stupid gimmick idea. How are you going to come up with a cleaning product? I'm not saying you can't, but I don't think the...
Sausage.
Chemicals.
No, I'm saying sausage.
You put some chemicals together and that's it.
Patent it.
Mix pine sol with sausage and you've got the best cleaning agent you could ever imagine.
Well, definitely the best smelling.
And when you patent it, make sure your name is still on it.
Our buddy Steve Larper is saying that OxyClean is no joke. I disagree. I had OxyClean. I tried to clean my skips with them, and they stayed dark.
You know what it does? When you have those infomercials, I think it makes a product less than what it really is. Like, it didn't need to have those infomercials behind it.
I always hate those infomercials, but I saw the magic bullet, and I was making fun of it through the whole thing.
Is it a vibrator?
No, the magic bullet.
It kills Kennedy.
The magic bullet is like some sort of vibrator.
It definitely
isn't
is.
Maybe it wasn't called the magic bullet.
Oh, you mean the pocket rocket? That's what you were talking about. Not the magic bullet. What's the pocket
rocket?
It's
called dong. Actually, it's
12-inch dong.
Yeah, I assume double ended with some sort of blender term or something. But it's like I think it was called the magic bullet. But it's like this little blender thing. Basically, it's a
blender. Oh, it
definitely
is. I know exactly what you're talking about. You're right.
And you put, but
it's a handheld blender. Okay.
Right. And I was thinking this is when I had just started drinking the shakes.
But I imagine that if you sit on it while it's on, you can use it like the other magic bullet.
A small blender. That's all. That's pretty much all it is.
And that's what I was saying. This thing is like, this is so ridiculous. This thing's like a small blender. Then I realized, wait, a blender, you probably have to chop. For the most part, like the fruits or the vegetables, like I actually chop them up before I put them in the blender.
Yeah, if you have a good blender, it depends on the size of your blender and how much you're going with it.
I have a feeling the magic bullet, you won't have to chop it. It'll make it nice and smooth.
Magic. It's the most magic thing in the world. Come on, obviously. I would love. But they're sponsors now. Sponsors of Heroes Talk.
Awesome.
Totally new invention. Small blender.
I had this.
We should just take everything and make it small. Small TVs.
I've never seen that before.
Small refrigerators.
I had this one idea for a product that I thought would have been golden.
Small Fred's.
A smaller me. That's what it was.
No. What was your product?
It was for married men to hide that they were married. It was a ring. And you put the ring on your wedding finger for like 5 minutes, and it gets rid of like the white around the ring finger of your wedding ring, so it blends in with your skin, so people can't tell that you're married.
The get laid-nator? Yeah. Is that what it was called?
I actually had an idea like that too.
I mean, come on, cannot not be? That's not profitable.
It would, but you saw it. You didn't invent it.
No. This is something I never saw. I invented it myself.
I got. Oh, really?
Yes.
Wait a minute.
You don't think that's
got a
good
name?
Idea?
You haven't figured out a name yet.
Get laid and later, no?
It has to do something with a ring. Like,
Now and later. Now or later, right?
I came up with the same idea. You can pay $29.95, right? We'll mail you a certificate. As soon as you receive your certificate in the mail, you can start taking your ring off when you go out. Just rub your finger for a few seconds and let the blood come back.
And you get a spray tan. Spray tan around the finger.
What it would be called, my thing would be... The C ring, the cheat ring.
Nice.
A C ring. I'll make a million just off of that thing. Just off of that. It's a plastic ring that has tanning on it, and then it just tans your finger.
I have the name for it. The Infidela toy.
Oh. No, I got it. It's the wrong. There you go. I get it.
So, I mean, I think I can make $1 million with that damn little invention.
Oh, our buddy Entropy in the Heroes Talk Room, the Divorcinator.
The Divorcinator, exactly.
Oh, no, that was our buddy Best in Show, Rob, that actually called it out. Our buddy, our former producer and friend, who will be in Atlantic City tomorrow night. It's going to be nice.
Nice. But you guys never came up with, like, you thought that you had this brilliant million-dollar idea that never came to fruition.
I
had a bunch of those.
I, like pretty much most of the geeks out there, invented the iPod long before the iPod existed. I thought, wouldn't it be great if, like, you could just have, if all the music were on just a digital thing. I wanted it on a chip. I wanted it so there was no moving parts so you could ski down a mountain with it and it wouldn't skip. And, hey, isn't that great?
Ironically, we know what Brian's name for it was? Rocker. That's what he actually called it. That's so weird.
I came up with the entire catalog of movies, every movie you want available on pay-per-view at one time. Not just random or not pay-per-view, like, yeah, well, on demand, something like that.
You invented on demand?
I invented on demand.
Oh, congratulations.
Did a very good
That's
job.
That's how you did so well at that last job. That's yeah. they got it from you?
I signed it away, though. So, God, like the chicken conveyor, it's...
your patent is no longer pending. It's assigned to someone else.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we're smart guys. We could come up with something.
I'm going to disagree. No. I'm going to disagree. I'm going to say we're not smart guys. I'm going to say we are average intelligence at best. slightly below average intelligence is what I'll say we are.
I'll agree with that. All right. But we put our four heads together, or at least we have one, like, normal human, you know, brain working.
I don't think that it works like that.
One, sure even if works. It did work that way, I don't think that there's enough brain power here. I think that the three of our brain powers would drag Brian's brain power down, and we'd be screwed. And we still wouldn't have the brain power of a human. Just a thought.
Just a thought.
I'm telling you, using my brain, I can't figure out how to call all the time. I never remember that the phone number to this show is 347-767-4BIS. That's 347-767-4247. Maybe I did. I remember it sometimes. I don't know. There's lots of great products out there. There's lots of things that you could do as far as business is concerned. And I'll be honest with you, I've been feeling lately, I've been talking a lot about some things on the show here, and I have a new business plan, and this is something that I want to go into and something that I'm thinking about. And I understand that maybe it's a little bit. An isolated market that I'm looking to go for, and maybe it's not the smartest idea in the world, but I want to bounce it off you guys, see how you feel.
I hope it's not married dudes, because that market is booked.
No, it was called the divorce, and damn it. No, in all honesty, actually, I did not come up with the name. Our buddy James from North Carolina, who's been on the show in the past, is actually the one who came up with the idea for it. But
I love how inventing stuff is just coming up with a name for something.
I got a plan. Well, this isn't an invention. This is a business plan. I'm talking. I'm living into the 21st century. I've got a plan. I know exactly what I'm doing here.
Stocks?
Yeah. Why?
Invest?
Isn't that a good idea? I invented it.
You gonna go public?
I'd like to say private. Privately owned. As you guys know, I've been obsessing a lot lately about hair removal and about removing hair from my own personal regions on my body. The thing is, I'm compelled and screwed with the idea that I can't just go someplace and actually go get waxed.
Definitely.
I feel very awkward and stupid about it. If I did it as a radio bit, I guess that would be the cover for it, why it would be funny, but why it would be, look like it was a normal thing to do at the place. But I don't even want to do it as a radio bit.
Society thanks you.
Yeah. But I'm thinking about the idea that I need a way to be able to remove my hair from my body without any sort of embarrassment for fellas. So I'm thinking that I want to focus on a hair removal company that does waxing specifically for men, and only for men, and only for their genital region.
Maxing?
Oh. Actually, our buddy James of North Carolina came up with the best idea ever. It's Brazilians. And you get the Brazilian, and you actually wax, and guys focus on waxing and waxing each other. I got people that are behind me. I got people that'll be receptionists. I got people that'll be the money behind it. The only problem is no one that I know wants to actually wax dudes. So I said, yeah, I guess maybe
you
I'll
pay
start.
Someone to do it. Someone will wax a dude. Definitely.
I'm sure we could find somebody, but I don't want to let it. If I'm trying
I'll
to,
wax a dude. You give me $5.
I'm trying to start an empire. I don't want to just give it to any Johnny Come Lately that's going to half-ass it and screw up my business, Brazilians.
Half-assing it.
Dude, the half-ass is actually one of the designs that we offer at Brazilian.
Question. Can I text during it?
While waxing,
yeah.
I think your buttons will get all mucked up. If you do, you'll have mucky buttons on your texter.
My advertising mind is spinning. I'm thinking of commercials, and you have to have a creature or a guy, Brozilla, to actually sell the product.
Allow me to point out that Keith Fu, knowing what my hair thing was, has suggested in the chat room that Chris needs a hair-eating amoeba pet. I like the idea of the mascot is a hair-eating amoeba. Brozilla. I love the idea.
Would Brozilla have any hair, or would he be like a hairless monster, like a big monster?
Maybe
who usually
he's
has
super
hair,
hairy,
but he's
just in all different kinds of hair.
He has all the hair; it all goes on to him. That's how he feeds off your
so
hair.
Like, wait, so it's like, what is that game? That old PlayStation game where you roll around and just pick up everything where you're going all the time?
Katamari.
Katamari. Yeah. It's like that with hair. It's just a big ball of hair that picks up everything.
The Riddex of hair removal. That's to get rid of the toilet bowl.
So I toyed with the idea of like, yeah, you know what? I guess
it's genius. It's genius.
I guess I'll do it. I could do it. I could wax dudes. And then I thought about it for like a half hour, and then it's like, yeah, I really can't wax dudes. Like, it's a problem. So I actually went through the effort. As you guys know, I tried waxing in the past. I went for the effort to go the hardcore waxing route, like the real deal, not those little easy strip things. I went with serious waxing, and I'm going to say I think it's impossible to wax male genitals. It's an impossibility. So I think Brazilian, my dream, is shattered.
Cause you can do it.
I'm telling you.
I mean, maybe you can't, but it can be done.
I don't know that it can be done. I think it defies human reason because the skin is so tender and soft and supple.
Well, Chris, could Brazilian be like a Nair product and not go the waxing route and still be Brazilian? Like, that you're working with chemicals again now.
Keith Fu suggesting instead of Katamari, it's Waxamari. I love the idea. I love it.
Instead of waxing, make it a male hair removal thing, but it's Nair. Maybe it's a little bit gentler for dudes or something like that.
Allow me to say, the job that the Serious Wax does, fantastic.
It doesn't.
It's fantastic. It's great. But when you get to where the real business is, where the crux of the matter is, and it's not the area around it, where the guys are and where the business is, you can't do that.
Yep.
I was hesitating while I was like ripping, and I went slow, and it got so hard that I couldn't get it off. It almost took me a half hour to actually get some of the wax.
But you got excited about it?
No. The wax got hard. Oh. It was excited about the prospect of removing my hair.
That area is just as sensitive, soft, and supple in a woman's private parts, and they do Brazilian waxes all the time.
I don't believe that's true.
You think they're hardcore?
I'm telling you that. I'm telling you, I mean, at the risk of being graphic, I'm telling you that the base of my shaft skin and my scrotum skin is a different level of sensitivity than the pubis region.
I'll bet you not.
I agree with Brian. I think it's.
You are not waxing the labia minora, where you know we're talking about the actual like areas around. I'm just saying.
But you're getting close to areas. I mean, it's. I don't know.
Our buddy Ken from Heroes Talk, the smoothest Brazilian on Staten Island, coming soon to a backyard Labor Day party near you.
You know,
it's going to be excellent.
Would you, if I paid you money to get electrolysis down there, would you do it?
You'd pay for it?
Hair would never grow back.
You'd pay for it?
It would grow back. It'd just take a long, long time.
You would pay for my electrolysis?
But you would get it down there?
But I would die to do that. I want no hair. God, I want to be hairless.
How much do you think that costs? Maybe a couple of G's, right?
And probably like 3 solid days of work. Like, how long would it take to, like, you got to take a pen and kind of, like, zap every tiny little hair.
Wait, hold on a second. Toronto Rocker is suggesting in the Pal Talk room high voltage electrolysis. There's high voltage involved? They don't electrocute the hair out, do they? It's like laser beams, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a lightsaber.
It's like a lightsaber.
Darth Vader.
Yes.
Chops at your wang.
That's exactly it.
No, but you got to go in there for sessions. Like, you got to go in there for like 7 days straight.
I don't care. If someone else would pay for it, I cannot justify spending thousands on removing hair from my crotch.
If it's that much of a thing
a
in
hindrance?
Your life, yeah, it seems like it's horrible.
It bothers me a little bit. It bothers me.
Uncomfortable. Yeah, that bothers me a little bit. Isn't worth what you're talking
about. Well, it bothered me a little bit enough that
you bother me a little bit. I'm not going to pay thousands to get rid of you.
You'd consider it though. If I could get you a deal for a couple hundred, you would. No, I'm just saying it's enough of an issue for me that it's something that I'm really kind of preoccupied with, so much so that I actually, like, all jokes aside, I really legitimately for a good couple of hours really thought I really could start a male waxing business and really call it Brazilian and really do this.
This is not the first time that Chris has had a fabulous business pipe dream, business plan kind of thing. He's called me on several occasions about this fantastic idea that he had for a company, not as a joke or not as a radio bit. Long before there was even like internet radio on our horizons, he had. In fact, the internet radio was one of his wild schemes to like be a business plan itself.
I never invented internet radio. Keith did.
You understand that this is also a person that I was his campaign manager.
Yes, that's
for
right.
A while in the mid-90s because Chris decided that he was going to run for borough president of Staten Island.
Oh.
And he did. We went down to the Board of Elections. We got all the paperwork. He told the lady was very excited when, you know.
Keith, I would like to tell you I'm a big fan of yours. We didn't go get the paperwork. Our buddy John got it for us. We never went anywhere.
Which is why John became the campaign manager after me. And because I remember Chris saying to me, yeah, John kind of knows about that stuff. Would you mind if he takes over the job? And I think my response was like, what job? That's how devoted I was to it.
Brian, get this. I got this great idea. You're a geek and you like to buy electronics and stuff. I love buying electronics and stuff. We're both poor. None of us can afford electronics.
This was a great idea.
We got to start a company where we just use other people's money and buy electronics for them. Like, we go out and we shop for their best TV, all the PlayStations that they have, video games, all the electronic equipment and we tell them what the best stuff is and we sit down with them and we advise where they should spend their money and where they shouldn't spend it. And all you have to do all day is shop for electronics. Isn't that great? Let's start at this.
You're telling me that home media advising would not, there's not something there? For my mother. If you told my mother what the right DVD player to get with the right surround sound and what PlayStation and Wii Fit and got it for her house, she'd buy it.
I got a call from Chris one day telling me.
Jay Mish, there we go, technology consultant.
I got a call from Chris one day telling me, you know how people buy stuff? Like, I just bought something in Best Buy and, like, I'm hooking it up. But, you know, there's people that probably can't do this. So, let's just start a job where we hook up people's home theater systems.
Yeah, that was part of it. Installation,
cable
too.
Cable guy. Yeah. But that's the idea. I think,
we're going to market ourselves to rich people. So, you'd say, just give us a budget. Tell us what you want. We will make you your palace.
The best
electronic
one.
Interior designer, then, yeah. Basically.
Electrolalizer.
The name's very important.
Ectrazonalizer.
Right. The ectrolalo.
That's what I should use for hair removal. I know. Yeah.
Rich poor guys.
But I know I'm not crazy. Steve Delarper, our buddy. Chris is right. This is the move. Steve, tomorrow, me and you are going to talk. We're going to get our plan together. Screw these guys. We have our new business. It's going to be huge.
I think it's great. I think you got something because you're not probably the only dude that goes through this. There's a lot of guys that are going.
What, a midlife crisis?
No, hairy. Hair below.
No, I don't want a TV for that. That's a different thing.
Oh, you're talking about the.
Every business has to start small. It has to start selling.
I'm saying that waxing is going to be great. Brazilians. And after I'm done waxing dudes, then I'll go out in the field and I'll put TVs in their house.
No, you do it both. You install their TV and wax them
camera focused on their balls while I'm doing it. Look how good it looks in HD up there. It's like you're in your own balls.
Chris, this is where you take it. You don't take it to the salon and do it yourself. You make it a home kit that a dude can do it, and then you do a little.
Wait. That a dude can do it himself? Because those exist. Home waxing kits exist.
Yeah, but you do it for the male.
So you're saying I go do it for them? I go to guys' houses and I think that's prostitution.
You do an infomercial. And you show the guys how to do it, and they do it themselves. It's an at-home kit.
I get a good mug of coffee right before I start, and I get my caffeinated buzz on. Like, oh, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I got a deal for you today. Guys, do you ever find yourself, you know, I got to go with that whole angle of, like, the 1999 infomercial thing when people are so, like, dumbfounded and befuddled by the easiest thing in the world. You ever try and cut a tomato? Well, not anymore. Now everything's easy.
What so about, you have to like, have, guys, like, an Australian guy doing it, though.
I like guys just, like, with, like, their hands, like, dead hands, like, trying somehow with scissors to stab at their cut. Guys, you ever try and remove hair but can't quite get the handle on it?
Do you ever want to buy electronics but don't know how?
Why don't you have a place?
That's such a good idea. Why are you knocking that one?
I'm not. I'm just thinking.
You could have a place where guys.
You got to think outside the box. That's why you're not good for our company.
Think outside the box. That could be your episode.
Wow.
Think outside the box is great.
And the case is a toolbox. It looks like a toolbox when you get it. And then it's called the toolbox.
It's called the toolbox.
Why don't you have a place where guys can do the Brazilian wax on other guys? You know, like
Brazilian
like
wax
a place
pump.
Where, like, you know, you have like, you know, young 20-year-old males that like old guys can come do the wax on them.
Instead of Tupperware parties, it's the Brazilian part. Brazilian wax parties.
That's what my wife did actually suggest that the idea. I'm like, yeah, but then you got to get overhead and you got to open up a place. And I'm going to open a place for guys to come get themselves waxed, and no one's going to show up at this place. She's like, well, then you start off just like do like you know how people do the dog grooming things, drive around and like drive to people's houses and like guys get in the back of your van and you wax them.
Wow, a mobile waxing unit.
You know, mobile male waxing unit. We no women allowed. It's a boys' club.
Right, that's right.
If you're going to do it yourself, you better have like a white lab coat or something because you have to look professional while you do that. You can't just have like on a mouth.
Chris
Nays
here for the wax master.
Just imagine the people who would respond to that.
Oh, God.
Like imagine the kind of customers that you'd actually have
I
to
will,
deal with.
I will not advertise this on Craigslist. I'll tell you that right now.
I got to, you know what? I had to...
glory hole waxing. Just pop it through. It's...
I had an idea once that...
That's Jay Mitch, by the way, his idea. Fantastic.
I thought, what is the one time when men, especially, loosen the purse strings? When men will metaphorically, not if they actually have a purse, but when men will spend money. And the majority of the time, it's when they're, like, probably trying to impress a girl or something. And I wanted to start a business where I would find out everything they need to... Like, find out, somehow you can find out the girl's interests or something
for
these guys. Sort of, but he's kind of like teaching moves and stuff like that. Not really. This is more just like the research. Like, we'll do the research.
You want to be a stalker?
We'll do the research. Exactly. We'll do the research for you so you know what band's shirt to wear to work that day so that girl says, oh, you like them?
Professional stalker. That's what you want to be.
For wow. other guys, though, it's helping other people stalk.
Wow. Right. Well, that's what makes it professional.
And I'll even throw in one of the and I certainly didn't come up with this on my own.
I'll even throw in a pair of her panties with it. I'll even throw that in.
I didn't come up with this on my own. I know I probably saw it in a movie or a TV show somewhere, I'm sure, but like be the guy that he can act like a tough guy in front of, like, hey baby, come here. Hey, get away from her, you know, like
great idea for your website. Here you stalk. Here you stalk. It'll be fantastic.
That's up already, actually.
Oh, damn it, that's something else. Something entirely different. Something fantastic that you guys all should be a part of if you're not.
Entropy in the chat room says, we do the stalking, so you don't have to.
It's very nice. I like it.
Silk stockings.
They do do that. They do do that, like, I mean, they do do that for, like, private investigators and stuff. So wouldn't it be like, it's like private investigating to get to see other people's privates or something. Like, you're doing it with a more...
Not privates. I'm not looking to get naked pictures of anybody.
No. I'm saying so.
That would be a better business, though.
So someone could try and get to someone's privates. It's the idea of trying to hook people up. I like the idea. I like the idea of it.
Creeps
we'll
Incorporated.
We'll sneak into our house.
It definitely Sorry. Creeps Incorporated. That's fine.
$49.95. We'll sneak into our house. You get a shower cam, a toilet cam.
Oh, my God. Toilet cam. How much?
You're a private brown eye.
I think there's lots of great ideas out there, and I think that I think my business plan is going to work. I gotta do things. I'll sort it out. I'll come up with some sort of plan. Maybe something.
I need a plan.
Do you?
I need a plan. I need a job. I need something. I know I sound like a broken record over and over, but I've gotten to the point now, and now I'm starting to feel crazy. Like for a while there, I was really enjoying. You can probably go back to last year to. Yeah.
Great.
Well, see, the thing is, I think the 1 year anniversary of me losing my job was yesterday. Thank you. Thank you. I'm 1 year old. And, go ahead. You want terribly to say something. Go ahead.
No, I was mad that Brian didn't slow down the clapping and make it like all weird and uncomfortable a little more. That's all.
And now it's to the point where like, being unemployed, There's two types of craziness that go with being unemployed. The first one is the obvious, which is
no money,
and it goes beyond like, hey, that would be cool to do. Hey, that would be cool to get, stuff like that. Like after a while, it gets to a point of wow. I know everyone deals with like, wow, how am I going to pay this bill? How it starts to get scary after a while. It starts to be like, wow, this
sleep crippling panic.
To the point where now it's just like now you're thinking, now you start asking questions like, how long before you get evicted? Stuff like that. Not exactly that, but just like that type of like, you know, thinking things like that, because after a while, like, you know, it's the scary thing is there's no like. I have applied to so many jobs and just not gotten them. But there's that, but there's not even that. There's also the other thing is I no longer wake up and feel like, well, at least I don't have to go to work today. That wore off a long time ago. Now it's like I can't.
Dude, when I was unemployed, that wore off really quick for me. Yeah. Even getting drunk and making burgers with my friends every day while my then girlfriend, now wife, went out to work and we were just hanging out all day. Even that wasn't like it ceases to be fun after, I'm going to say, month one As when you start realizing, holy crap, I'm really just sitting around a lot. That's when it starts to freak you out.
And it's, yeah, and it's just like, wow, it's like waking up and it's like, wow, so this is just what I'm, today I'm like not gonna earn any money today. I'm just gonna like sit around and like, and I'm gonna cost money. I'm gonna use lights that burn electricity, you know, like I'm gonna eat food that has to be paid for. It just starts, it's to the point where like, this is something I was going to talk about last week, but it just got to the point where, like, I just like really started thinking, like, wow, I think I'm losing my mind now. I'm starting to feel crazy now about like.
Have you considered doing the, like, I guess what we considered crazy things or like extreme things for money? Have you thought about like donating sperm? Have you thought about donating blood? Have you thought about
panhandling, getting a license?
Become what's that? Okay, yeah, maybe getting a license and becoming a delivery person. Yeah,
but, I've actually been.
But those are not as instant gratification. There's so much time involved. If he goes someplace right
and
now
money.
And jacks it into a cup, he can get paid today.
Right. And blood. He can sell plasma.
But that doesn't...
Same cup?
But that doesn't last so long. You can't do that as often. You can only do that... Like, you're going to do it once, like, maybe once a week? I don't know. I've never looked into it.
I don't... Do they will anyone pay for my puke? For blood anymore? I don't think they pay for blood anymore.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
Plasma, they definitely do. Like, platelets? Platelets and really? Plasma, they'll definitely. They'll
I feel
definitely
like I should do. Be donating that anyway.
You probably should.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought of medical testing?
That was the next thing I was going to ask. Mm-hmm. Like being a guy who will smoke a carton of cigarettes a day. I'm being dead serious.
You mean Brian?
I'm telling you, I distinctly remember reading like Axl Rose and Slash, like that's how they were paying the bills when they were before the band took off. That they were like test subjects for medical testing.
You know what it is? Every time I see those ads, the Village Voice was always big with those ads. Every time I see those ads, I assume it's fake.
Yeah, like do coke for a month in our lab and we're going to pay you $1,000 a week.
Do you have OCD? All those things. I always see they'll pay this and this. But like, I don't really believe that they'll...
OCD is real. I know. Neither do I.
You want to take a weight loss? You want to take like a weight loss pill?
I would love that.
I guarantee you, you can take some sort of pill for like a weak stream of urine or like some like any like one of those medical testing things to see if there are side effects. And granted, don't get me wrong, you might wind up with like brain cancer or like an eye falling out or something. But you know, you'll get some quick money.
They're not that hard to find. I mean, literally, you can go to kind of the sketchier hospitals even in this city, and right there on the bulletin boards in front of the elevators, there's. A plethora of opportunities looking for medical testing people. Yeah, I mean, but it's not like it's not like you're going to pay your rent with it. Like you'll get $10 or $20 or something for a week or a month's worth of work and showing up and doing reports.
I'm betting you could find some. And again, I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't keep going down traditional roads to try and get paid, but. Just wondering where the level of your extremity and where your desperation is coming.
I did think of this. I thought of about 5 blocks away from my house where Chris, I don't know if it still is, but one of your favorite pizzerias is. Every morning, early in the morning, you will see guys lined up. Standing there, and granted, I don't fit in with these guys. Like basically, you'll see illegal aliens standing there waiting. And I was thinking, wow, you know what?
The place where Rob goes to drive to pick up his laborers.
Yeah, exactly. That's where he got
at
me.
At a Home Depot.
So I ended up working with Rob.
Just go to any Home Depot parking lot in the morning and wait there, and you'll be able to get a job that day.
I feel like if I go up, like if I try to catch the guy ahead of time, you know, maybe like I could use racism to my advantage. And I'm like, oh, I'm gonna hire this guy.
In all honesty, not even screwing around, I think you go out there, you'll instantly get hired. But if you don't, they're going to kill you. All the Mexicans are going to jump on top of you and kill you. Like, what do you think you're doing?
Absolutely.
Definitely. What if I try to fool them? Like I say, like ASA. I say a lot. You know, you guys see Born in East L.A.? All right.
You mean your brown face?
You want to write an essay about it? You
guys, watch G-Lo.
Okay, they got this thing in my.
Keith Booth says wear a sombrero
and roll up on a donkey.
Burro.
They got this thing in my neighborhood at the. I live in Park Slope because the neighborhood is sort of on the slope. At the bottom of the slope, in the ditch, if you will, is a metal recycling plant. It's basically like a big dumpster where you can just show up and give them large amounts of metal, like air conditioners or anything that has
rockers.
Like.
Yeah, I have a lot of Slayer I could give them.
And they pay by the pound. You show up with, like, the metal, and they'll pay you by the pound. And, like, it's kind of, in the morning, like, on common garbage days, people start up at the top of the slope with a shopping cart and go through the garbage and pick up any large pieces of metal that people are kind of throwing. That they turn some good money. At the end of the day, it takes them all day to do it, but they make a lot of money doing that.
I only know about that because I remember there was a show called The Corner about crack drug addicts in Baltimore on HBO. And I just remember I don't know if anyone remembers the old principal's assistant or teacher from one of the first Saved by the Bell shows, but he was in it, and he's, like, stealing cars and bringing it to this place, like, just selling.
You can do cars. There's all kinds of stuff that people do questionably, and they don't even, like, get paint slips or things from you. You show up with big hunks of metal and just get,
I might be trapped in some sort of time warp. I feel like you can go around and collect, like, broken pallets and repair them, and there are companies that buy those.
Yeah, I remember people would always be coming to try to take those.
But I also think that might be like 1984 that I'm stuck in, like that we don't use pallets anymore.
Keith, are you beyond or above collecting recyclables?
There's not enough money in it.
And there's not even a lot out.
Being somebody that drank a lot of cans, and when you go with these big, gigantic, enormous bags with you, thinking, yeah, all right. You don't even have enough to buy another 24 pack when you're done.
If that's what you're doing for full time work, if you make $30 a day,
I can't even afford the cans.
Well, no, you go around the neighborhood and you collect other people's cans.
Bags are expensive, man. Bags are really expensive.
Well, you got to get a shopping cart, like a real deal.
That's what's going to
a real deal.
You guys know I can get a shopping cart.
You got to take this seriously, and it's got to be a nice shopping cart.
Absolutely.
You know?
Oh, the day I walked into Burger King and applied, it's just like...
What about getting a paper route? Or route? Paper route?
No, route, definitely.
How about Staten Island Daily News?
There was a guy who lived around the corner from me who was the world's best Staten Island Advance paper guy, but he had a car. And he actually had a route that encompassed, like, you know, 75% of Staten Island, and that was his full-time job, and he made pretty good money.
The last kid riding around on a bike delivering newspapers got painted by Norman Rockwell.
I'm telling you, if you get a license, you're actually going to open up opportunity. If you get a driver's license, they would love someone like you down at the freaking bread delivery place that I worked at. If I showed up and, like, introduced you to someone and say, this guy is willing to work, they'd hire you on the spot.
So one unemployed guy is going to help another unemployed guy get a job that you're not going to do.
It's a trap.
You would rather stay unemployed than do this job, yet you're going to recommend it to your friends?
I'm not recommending it to you. It's definitely a last ditch hope, but it was good work. It was solid work, and it was repeating work. Because they depend on you, they can't really fire you. It's just, it's a lot of work. It's every day, and you can't really get out. Once you're in, you're kind of stuck there forever. There's really...
So it's the mob, basically.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit, yeah. Oh, and you also have to fight all the time. Like, that's a lot of fun.
I get training, too. Yeah. On-the-job training. Yeah, so I don't...
I will, by the way, offer, as our buddy Keith was suggesting, I will offer you a job as a professional bro waxer if you want. Once I get the business up and running, you're more than welcome.
And I can text during it.
Yeah. No, forget it. Forget it. But you'd have to be able to drive the mobile van, so I don't know. You need a license for that, even.
I actually, a couple days ago, I was just like, and I didn't even want to say this because it probably won't happen, but I was just like, I have to get my driver's license. I have to go get my permit. And then I found out the permit is like $75.
Is it really that expensive now?
Yeah, it used to be like $40 at the most. Now it's like $75.
I don't want to show my age, but I thought it was like $19.
Yeah, I thought it was a little more reasonable than $75.
I'm pretty sure if you're under 18, it's like $180 or something now. It's like insane.
So it multiplied by 10 times because I remember it being $19 when I applied for my permit, and that's now.
Yeah, that was a quarter back then.
It was February in February of 2010. Last month they had a little note about how, like, you know, there's a new fee involved or something.
Actually, before I got that license, I used to walk to school uphill both ways at that time too. So it's kind of weird.
On the way here,
before the war.
On the way here, Keith was telling me that he took the practice test for get his license, and he got like 8 wrong on something.
Yeah, one of them. Yeah, I said, you know what? I'm not reading that book again. Let me just make sure I remember all these answers, like blood alcohol content and stuff like that. And I missed like one question on each on each pot, except one pot I got like eight.
It's the big pedal on the right.
I can't remember what it was that I got like eight wrong, and it was like I wish I could remember, but I can't. If anyone wants to look up later during the break and read me, I'll read the different sections and see which.
If you
one
keep
it was,
failing, but. That would be the funniest thing.
Quick, green means
money. The color of grass.
I just see collisions happening. And if Keith gets his license, he's not going to get a car. He can't afford a car.
Yeah, that's the other part. But like, I could get maybe the job at least.
That's what it is. It's saying I can legally drive your delivery
Domino's
car.
Like a Domino's or Pizza Hut pizza.
I don't need the license for Domino's.
I was saying, but a pizza place that you do the delivering for them and use their company car. That's a place where you can get
they'd
a job.
They'd be so much psyched. They'd be psyched to hire someone who has...
Who's not a Mexican on the corners with Brian's.
Or who isn't a 16-year-old kid who's gonna like get drunk and run their crap into a tree.
Hey, you get your license.
Well, I'm not 16. That's true.
Allow me to point out that getting drunk at pizzerias is something that happens. I'm gonna pull the curtain back. It happens.
Keith gets his license. NASCAR driver.
Maybe. We'll
or see. Limo driver.
Wow, he becomes like a real serious driver. He gets a CDL license. He starts becoming like tractor trailer driving cross country.
I mean, can't you see it?
Cab driver.
That's a lot of work and a lot of money. Like, he has to actually get his hack license.
You have to pay for that. It's a lot of money to pay for, but it's not that bad. Our buddy P-Roll works for a company that might be able to help you out with that. You need to talk to him.
Hey, maybe you're right. Maybe this is going to open some opportunities. Like, when you go on these interviews, how do you show your identification? What do you show them? Like a birth certificate?
No, I have a motor vehicle's ID. It's just not a driver's ID.
Okay.
It's because my permit expired like I don't remember when, and the day I walked in, I looked, there was two lines. The line for the permit had just people sitting there waiting, ready to die, and the line to get the non-driver's ID had just a girl sitting there like
waiting
chewing
to
gum,
die.
Just like staring down at the ground, and the other girl's just like sitting there with nothing to do, and I was just like, I have to get in and out of here. I'm just getting this for now. Plus, it was a lot cheaper; it was only like $15, so I have that.
19,
is it?
I don't know. I want it to be 19. Okay. I just have memories of 19. Greatest year of my life.
So, so that's where I stand.
I don't want to make light of it, and it's obviously it's actually a problem that
I think Fred does.
Obviously, he was trying to think what the punchline was. Wait, make light of it. Make light of it. I know there's a joke in there somewhere.
Can Keith afford to turn his lights on?
I hope he's light on his feet when he's walking.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm sure there's got to be some sort of if you're desperate, I'm sure there's a way that you can come up with something. Stealing. Just start robbing stores.
I was thinking, I wish I could have a list of all the crimes I could commit that I wouldn't get caught for, which is obviously impossible.
None. The list will actually have nothing on. I got an idea. $20. Come to Atlantic City tomorrow night and put it all on black.
Oh boy.
How do I get home?
To get there in the first place, actually.
It's true. So, you guys want to stop paying me to do Best in Show?
Sure.
We're paying all right. We are definitely paying.
Awesome. You're listening to Best in Show. I hope you're not paying too much to do that. Here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
You're listening to Best in Show on Heroes Talk. This is DJ Newstyle from the DJ Newstyle Show. Make sure you're checking out our exclusive Tuesday night programming on HeroesTalk.com, or you might miss something like this.
He said it reminded him of my meatloaf, and that's
yes.
Why it's ruined.
Right, because she makes meatloaf that has that same barbecue sauce in it. It's not like I'm eating meatloaf. I didn't want meatloaf. I wanted stuffed peppers.
And you even said the pepper was a little tough tonight.
And the pepper, you didn't cook the pepper good enough. It was fucking raw, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, you know what I wanted to do with that pepper when you said that.
I broke a fucking tooth. I chipped my goddamn tooth on that pepper.
He's so furious. And so you just toss it under the table to the dogs? You're not, like, mean to the dogs, are you? I mean, because you're pretty irate. You just slam the plate on the table, and you take it off, and you throw it in
well,
the dog
sometimes
bowl.
Sometimes I like to smush the food in the dog's faces sometimes.
Oh, he ain't kidding. He does that.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
No, he does. He does. He smushes it in their face, yeah.
I need that. He once said that he was so furious with something that you changed slightly that he chewed it up a little bit and spit it in the dog's face.
Yes.
What now, Frank? Do you remember what the meal was?
I don't remember what it was, but I know I would chew it up and then spit it in the dog's face. One time I took Sophie's face and I smushed it in mashed potatoes.
Oh my god!
Now, you can see from looking at him that he's real starved.
Yeah.
Yeah. After how many years? 13 years of eating my food.
Now, Frank, what is the classification of your BMI?
According to my BMI, I am morbidly obese.
So, yeah, you're really going hungry.
The DJ New Style Show is live every Tuesday, 9 to 11 p.m. on Heroes Talk. That's heroestalk.com. And in Pal Talk, the Heroes Talk radio chat room, the DJ New Style Show is proud to be a member of the Heroes Talk radio network.
This spring, don't go to Broadway to see The Who's Tommy or Green Day's American Idiot. This season, go see two live crews as nasty as they want to be.
I bring home the bacon, bitch, I put it in your hand. But behind my back, bitch, you've been seen with another man. Leave here, bitch, you have to leave.
America's most controversial album is now Broadway's new musical.
When the party's over, we can get together, go to my house and forever, and do whatever comes to mind. Let me stick mine in your behind. You can pour me a glass of Dom Perignon, then suck mine until I come. Soft is your body, tender is your kiss. Come on, baby, we can do this.
As nasty as they want to be, starts March 18th at the St. James Theater. Call Telecharge for tickets. You motherfucking ass son of a fucking bitch.
You're listening to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears is a place to be. Home of the DJ New Style Show every Tuesday night. Home of Culture Anima every Friday night. And home of your buddy's Best in Show here, hanging, banging, chilling, and whatnot. Fred, can I tell you something totally insane? Totally insane.
Yes.
I literally was talking about, hey, we want some booze, hey, like 2 days ago. And I had no idea that you were planning on doing a two live crew. I'm sorry that you recorded that commercial off TV for a two live crew.
These things always come out when I can't afford them.
Dude, I swear to God, I was insane. I was texting, I was sending messages to people, and they were like, "Yeah, that song didn't really exist. There wasn't that song." And I was,
really?
I'm sending links of, "Yeah, we want some poonanny nanny," as the kids say, because I can't say pussy, I guess, for some reason. But it was, and I wanted her to sing it and scream it in my house, but I have a kid there. It was so emotional. It was beautiful. That's amazing to me that you had two live crew going.
They are the dirtiest.
They're dirty as they want to be.
Oh, man.
As they want to be.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm very excited about the whole thing.
I'd go see that on Broadway. Because with stuff that's coming out on Broadway this season is absolutely horrible. Just let me point out. Enron, the musical, will be going on.
I'll go see it.
This spring. Enron.
I'm pretty sure that came from, not last year, but 2 years ago, I went to this thing, the New York Musical Festival, and I saw this play, like, it was called Bubble.com. It was about, like, the dot-coms crashing. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure Enron was part of that, but I don't remember. Because sometimes, like, Rock of Ages was part of it, I think that became, like, a huge thing now.
And maybe a couple of years ago now, we did our Spider-Man the Musical song.
That's
Spider-Man
right.
The Musical's out. It's called Spider-Man the Musical, Turn Off the Dark.
It's finally out?
It's
very racist.
Turn Off the Dark, that's going to be horrible. And then this, you have to see the commercial for Green Day's American Idiot. It is the most douche chill inducing thing.
It's really a play?
Yes, it's really a play. You got to see it.
I don't believe it.
Dude, it's horrible. It's horrible.
I saw my girlfriend's daughter wanted to watch the Grammys, so I watched the Grammys for the first time in years, and they had American Green Day opened it with like the cast. They performed like a bunch of their songs with the cast of American Idiot. Yeah.
The cast of Rent.
Yeah, might as well. I'm sure it was a lot of crossover from like the later Rent cast people or something.
I wish I could be producing Broadway plays because I would definitely put on As Nasty as They Want to Be.
I got the best idea in the world: a musical about male hair removal.
Ooh.
I think it's the greatest idea in the world. You listen to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com here on Heroes Talk. Think of your place to be. If you want to be a part of this, you can. 347-767-2BIS. That's 347-767. Did I say 2BIS? It's 4BIS.
It's 4BIS indeed.
I said 2BIS. I'm a jerk. It's,
yes, you 4, are indeed.
4247. By the way, if you're not listening in the Heroes Talk room, you can talk to our buddy Nunrock. That's the inventor of the Brazilian. He's here checking us out tonight. Good stuff.
The Brazilical.
Nice. The Brazilical. I like it.
Well, I'm talking about not having money, and you notice when you don't have a lot of money how expensive things are, more so. And I'm really starting to notice what a ripoff a lot of things are. And one particular thing set me off on this. I've been going to school, and now that all gets paid for with loans that I'll stress about at another time in my life. But you have to order textbooks, obviously, and there's alternate ways to order them. But if you don't order the textbooks through the school, you can't have your financial aid pay for them. Like, there's cheaper ways, but you have to pay out of your own pocket. Like, if you want to just get them on your own, like an alternate bookstore or online or something. So I'm forced to order them through the bookstore. I'm pretty sure this isn't news to anybody, but I don't know if everybody really understands the extent. Textbooks might be the biggest ripoff. I mean,
especially when the professor has written the book and makes you get his or her book for the class.
Well, it's funny you said that, because the one I particularly wanted to complain about, first of all, this school has this thing where if you want to buy the new book, if you want to buy the used book, they always tell you no matter what when you get it. There's a thing at the bottom that says check here if you want to get a new book in case the used one. In other words, if you want us to replace it with a new one because the used one is no longer in stock, check here. That's automatically check and grayed out. You can't uncheck that. So they're basically telling you if you're ordering books through us, we're going to send you the new one. If, in quotes, that we don't have the used ones. And to this day, I've never gotten a used book.
Well, maybe it's grayed out because all the used books are gone. Like, people jump on that the moment that they see their classes coming up. You got to get those early.
Probably, but I ordered the day their books went on sale one of the semesters, and everything was pretty much was gone. So I know that that's their little racket, is that they are not going to charge you $70 for a used one when they can charge you for the new one. And by the way, when you want to sell them back, you automatically have to sell. They'll only give you the used price. They won't give you the price that you had for a new one.
They'll even give you the used price? When I attempted to sell my college books back, you get like a tenth of the price.
A tenth of the used price, in other words. They won't even give you a tenth of the new price. They'll give you, and that's the same thing, used as checked.
It was never even worthwhile giving back used books. It's almost like more expensive. The shipping is more expensive. It costs more to send it to them than what you get back.
Isn't the concept, though, it's almost, there's lots of industries that are like that once it gets into this self-contained little world where these things exist, like where textbooks will be in this self-contained little school world, they have the ability to gouge the price as much as they want because it's their own little community of it.
And that's
case in point, like any product in the world, if you put the word wedding in front of it, suddenly it becomes exponentially more expensive. Oh, you're a florist? No, I'm a wedding florist. Right. Oh, then that rose will be $1,700 instead of one. That's the way it is. You were about to say?
No. Fred brought up one of the books, if the professor writes his own book. I have a literature class right now. The professor wrote the book, and we had to buy for $190 the book the professor wrote. What the professor did was go through some stories, some Arthur Conan Doyle stories, some other stuff, some classic literature, and a few notes of his, photocopy it, put it in a homemade binder, and print up his own label for it, and that is what the school is charging $190
for.
And I'm sure whoever owns the rights to those stories is getting their proper percentage of it as well.
He made a scrapbook, and he's selling a scrapbook.
He made a scrapbook, and he's selling it for $200.
But it's not the material. It's
$200 or $100?
$190.
Whoa. It's the content contained within.
Oh, please.
It's not the actual thing, exactly.
All stories that can be found on the internet,
Have e-books? That's what I was going to say. Don't they have e-books?
But they don't have the professor's criticism about each of those particular stories, the three or four sentences that he adds to it, and the curriculum itself, you know what I mean? you're kind of stuck with a situation like that. But it sounds weird that they're you would suggest that they're basing like your financial aid on making sure you get it through the bookstore.
No.
He's saying he can't use his financial aid to buy the books unless he buys them from the specific place where it's extra expensive.
Right. I could only use that. I'd have to pay out of my own pocket to get them from someplace.
I was going to say I think it was a little confusing what I was saying, because even our buddy Pristine was saying that in the chat room too, that he gets his financial aid regardless of where he buys his books from. You're saying that you can only use the financial aid money.
Place.
Although financial, I thought they just gave you a check and you kind of it just goes in an account and you pay it however you want.
After everything's paid, they mail you the refund in a check if you.
You know, there's a whole culture set up for that on the internet. I mean, just the simple way through Amazon, if you know like the ISBN number and stuff like that, you can find these books really, really cheap. To circumvent that, like often the publisher will come out and print a new edition every year, so that they're forcing you to buy this edition.
And of course, and the school always talk about a racket. Always is using the new edition, the brand new edition.
But usually, like you can get it. There's even I wish I had the name of the website, but there's even a website that's specifically used for textbooks for students to do it. It's just for this, or at least that's how it was put up. And now, like. People are using it to exchange used video games at this point. So it's like they don't even use like a person. There's not a warehouse. It's having the person who used to own it. They sort of set up a market price that the market will bear, and it's shipped directly from that person to you. And the company sends that person the shipping material to make it happen. So, I mean, you've got to wait for a week or two for the book, which is a little deadly sometimes, but you can get it.
There were also textbook torrents that all the sites were taken down. But not that I would ever do such a thing, but I did find...
Let me know what you're looking for.
Textbook torrents, and then I went on the site, and there was just this rambling note from the guy saying, I will resurface, don't worry.
Let me know what you're looking for. Let me know what you're looking for. I'll see if I have friends that might have that book. That's wink, good. Wink. And I'll see what I can do for you.
Will you give me a good store to purchase it from?
I know a guy. I got a textbook guy.
I don't want any falling off a truck dents on the book, though.
Don't you just think college in general is a ripoff? Like how much you pay to... Like, okay, you're not going to get a good job, but you have to pay now this exorbitant amount of money to then get a good job. And guess what? 90% of the time, I bet... Whatever you go to college for, you're probably not going to wind up doing what you studied in college.
If I really start thinking about whether or not I'm wasting the money in the state of mind I am anyway, I can't even start getting on down that road now.
Really?
I just feel like I just have to get the degree now and then, you know. We'll take it from there. When I get this one, we'll see if I really continue on to get the next one or something like that. But yeah, it's I'm sure it's a colossal waste of time. But at this point, though, it has I've been on a couple interviews where they've actually said to me, you know, well, what's your education? I don't see it on your resume here. And I've told them, and they were kind of like,
I went to school. Well, yeah. I went to some school. I had a good time.
I told them reading don't mean nothing.
It's all about, like, the piece of paper, obviously. But quite honestly, I mean, the argument is always, you know, you can, if you had a library card, you could just pick up the books and get your own education. But I mean, really what you're doing is when you're paying for college, you're paying for someone else's interpretation of all this literature to be kind of funneled at you. And also for them to whip you into shape. Because you're not going to go to the library every day and study.
What school did you go to?
You're not going to get your act together and do everything that you need to do in the 4 years that it would take you to get a 4-year degree. It would take you a lifetime because we're lazy.
And you probably in a lifetime wouldn't go for everything you learned in the 4 years. And I'm also learning that like public relations and marketing and advertising, like those classes, there's stuff in there that like I guess I could seek it out and find it simply by buying a textbook myself, but. I sort of understand college degrees from that point of view when I look at those classes and the stuff I learn in those classes. Like, if it's important to these, say, those agencies for you to know that, you know, I can understand why they want it to have been taught to you.
Still, the idea is it is still a racket regardless of the insights that you're supposedly looking for as opposed to the book. It's just everything there is, it's that self-contained.
Colossal ripoff.
It's that self-contained market that can gouge and could make the price whatever it wants. So I told you, it's just the same as the wedding thing. There's got to be tons of them out there. Same type of thing.
I'll tell you who has a racket going on. These razor companies. When I go to buy a razor, I buy a 4-pack of razors and it costs me like $12. And
I mean, these razor companies.
It's that metal.
I just can't believe
there's a guy. Brian knows a guy down in the ditch. You can trade the metal from those razors in.
Down the ditch. Is that down the shore or down the ditch?
Yeah, right.
You clearly don't buy off-market razors.
I'm hoping for some guy from down the shore to come buy Brazilians. I think that's my market. But I'm going to be honest with you, though. Those are the... Not the chic quattro.
Not the chics, but do you get the chics? You know what I mean? Like you go the ones that are, you could clearly, it fits in the chic, but it's not a chic brand.
No, definitely not.
What's the orange one? The orange
Mach
one.
Mach 3?
No.
Gillette.
You talking disposables or?
No. Like the vibrating, but it's like a razor.
Oh.
The orange one. It's the one above the Mach 3. It's not the quattro, but it's
the
like
Mach
another,
4.
It's a 4-blade one like the quattro, but it's not that. The Gillette, meh.
And that's what you use?
The greatest thing in the world. I don't think it's a ripoff. I'll buy them a million times. But you know what? It is a cup. It is really just a stupid strip of metal, isn't it?
It's a stupid strip of metal. And you're probably paying $20 for a pack of six or something like that.
I've changed. I used to be a snob about getting the right on-market Gillette brand that fits with my Gillette little snap razor. Now I just buy the El Cheapo, 99 cents for five.
For the record?
It's different. It's definitely different, but I deal with it. What the hell?
Don't do that if you're buying disposables. Let me just warn you right now. Don't buy if you
buy. I think that's what he's buying.
As opposed to ones that
you're
I
talking
would
about
keep
inserts
forever?
For. No, I'm saying if you're talking about the. You're talking about blades for a razor, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking about if you're buying the whole disposable razor yourself, just the little plastic.
Not the attachment that goes onto it. He's saying the whole disposable.
I just buy the little plastic attachment that has the razor, the metal things
that
inside
you put
of it.
Onto
you snap
yours.
On
right,
to my
okay.
plastic.
But if you buy those whole ones in like a 99 cent store, they will cut the hell out of your face.
The ones, the El Cheapo ones that I buy in that little thing, they are not. It doesn't exactly give you the smoothest shave. I definitely miss out.
The guys that Keith is over by trying to get the job from in the corner by the Home Depot, that's the El Cheapos. That's the name of their gang.
Low cheapo in France.
It's funny too because I realized that if you use those disposable razors, like as long as it's like and the disposable ones meaning the whole thing, the 6-pack of them, if you hold that under really hot bathtub water for like 5 minutes and shave in intervals, it'll work.
Yeah, it'll work. I will say that you don't get as much life out of them. Like I would definitely put the nice ones through their paces. Like I'd squeeze a week, maybe two, and sometimes on a bad month, 3 weeks out of it.
I used to shave my head and it wasn't buzzed. Like I would shave like my head with it, and I would get it out of the whole thing, and I wouldn't even cut it.
Those disposable ones, halfway through your second shave, it's like you're drawing blood.
It's over. Yeah, it's just you're running plastic on your face. At best. Otherwise, you're bleeding to death.
And as we're talking colossal ripoffs, I cannot stand my phone service. I feel like I'm being ripped off substantially.
I had your company.
Vonage?
No.
I had your company, and I know that you are being ripped off
you're that company.
Yeah. It's horrible. It's hard. I can't make a phone call. Me and my wife cannot make a phone call. I feel like, what am I paying for?
Singular's great.
That's right. You're paying to have a really cool iPhone.
Oh, we've got that
service.
That's
what you're paying for. I want an iPhone, dude.
Yeah, we got that
service. I can't mess with a BlackBerry. That's too stupid. iPhones are the coolest.
There was a snowstorm that happened maybe 3 weeks ago now. And quite literally since then, I haven't been able to make a single consistent phone call since then.
I called Brian 3 times before the show while walking up the street to his house to let him know that I was coming. Never answered once because his phone just doesn't work. But he's got an iPhone.
We pay for it. We pay for the service.
If he ever gets to a place where he gets signals, he'll be able to use it to use his, what was that program, like the Rapture or whatever, so he'll be able to like hear a song and know what record it's off of or whatever.
Actually, the web ability of it is so much more dependable than like the phone service. I didn't complain about it until this snowstorm. Now I just can't make a phone call at all. I'm considering getting like a little Skype application for this so I could use the web to make phone calls
that's
on
really
my
good.
Phone.
That's good that you should have to do that.
Exactly. I'm jumping through a hoop to it's make horrible. My phone work.
I hate it. I feel like I'm being ripped off. I can't stand it. I cannot wait until... isn't this bad for the iPhone? I mean, that they're in cahoots with a service that you can't make a phone call
they
with?
They say this year...
Doesn't that make it just a crappy product?
I agree.
It does. It
Apple,
a great
it just doesn't work. That's what I'm with.
It's true. It sucks.
It's an issue with the carrier. Shame on them for getting into exclusive contract with the carrier. But rumors that that's going to be over this year.
I also used to work for a company that puts out some of the worst service you could ever even imagine. I guess two of you don't have to imagine it.
I was just going to say, that you bring that whole concept up. All I was thinking, the idea of Brian was saying that they got themselves in a contract. I think that about the NFL, that they got themselves in a contract with certain people and they can't play their shows every place. The NFL Network, mm-hmm. same type of thing. Eh, whatever. Use a stupid phone. Screw it. Who cares? Get a good phone. Get a BlackBerry. Come to Verizon like a gentleman.
I have a phone from 1985. This is all
Verizon's been around since at least 1982.
Bell Atlantic. It was Bell Atlantic at that time.
Oh, God, my Bell. Same difference.
Well, you get ripped off for everything. Like you said, my TV service provider, I have a guy coming on Monday to fix my TV because I'm not getting any service.
I got a guy that can come fix your TV for you. Good.
Really?
Oh, wait, you were that guy. You used to work for that company. I forgot.
I would have definitely taken the offer because I hate what I'm going through.
You are one of those. You were one of those guys.
Yes.
So why can't you just fix it yourself?
They have to put a whole new thing in, whole new wires.
Doohickey? A doohickey or a what's-a-who's-it?
What's-a-who's-it.
Oh, man.
A lot of it. They have to put in a whole new wire. They have my cable running through my kitchen, and it goes behind my stove. And, like, the cable wire is melted, practically. It's done all wrong.
The service guys have been really good when I've needed them, but for the most part, the actual service and they had a really good program guide for a while. The program guide was like probably the best part of it on the DVR, you know, you could record. And they went and changed it because they wanted to have their own that was exclusive to them. And it's just like the worst thing in the world. I mean, I understand that if you hit a button and it immediately goes to something, it's not as cool as waiting 25 seconds for something to react. But
you know, I've been noticing something weird. I don't know if it's just that particular cable service. But no, it kind of seems like it's also just like the networks. Like, TV, the organization of TV is starting to get messed up. Like, it's breaking consistently, and they're not fixing it. Like,
what do you mean?
I watch The Office, and I tape it on DVR, and you get, like, the beginning of it, the last show that was playing before it is something else.
So the clock is off.
Well, it's weird because, like, I get the end of Parks and Recreation, and it says, hey, since you like Parks and Recreation, we're just going to – here's another episode for you. And then they go into The Office. And that doesn't happen once. That's a consistent thing every week. And I've been noticing that happens more and more. I'm signed up for it to, like, tape certain shows, and I – maybe 25% of the time, it records other shows for me. And it says it's the right show. It's scheduled on there. TV is kind of like –
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's not only the cable companies, the program. Yeah.
It's a way of advertising other shows, though, on the channel.
Well, they're saying, here comes this show
coming
up right now.
Yeah, I know what you mean. They're just wrong. It's wrong what's happening.
You would think, like, someone would catch that. How many billions of dollars do they employ? They must pay so many – it's just weird that, like, that kind of thing wouldn't have floated 5 or 6 years ago. That would have happened once. They would have gotten 20 letters, and it would have been changed.
Another problem I noticed this week about TV, Lost sucks.
It's weird.
I don't even know like what happened. Something must have broken at some point.
It's probably something to do with your carrier. It's a service. If you had the Apple TV, you would look cool while thinking it was sucked.
Right, okay.
So, you're listening to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, Thing You Do With Your Ears, Place to Be, magical thing. I'm trying to figure out what I'm trying to buy time as I'm trying to come up with a segue. I'm not even going to bother. I'm just going
to
move.
Well, I need those textbooks to do homework. So.
That's true. And you need the textbooks to do homework. Speaking of homework, I hear voices.
I need those textbooks to learn how to write things in the proper order.
Wow, what happened?
Wow.
Great seg.
You're hearing voices right now? I mean, like, in your headphones, it's people talking on a radio show? Or you mean, you're hearing in your mind?
It's not as extreme as I'm playing it off. I just was making a little fun there, but the fact that I don't know how to do segues anymore. So we each have a little, I guess what you would call an internal voice, right? Do you guys have, like, what would be considered an internal voice? An actual real voice that you actually...
Yeah.
Either hear inside your own head or envision that you hear inside your own head.
Yeah, I don't know if I think it sounds like my voice, but I don't know if that's just because I assume it does and I can't really hear.
No, it definitely sounds like my voice. I have that, and I definitely know that it's my voice because I'm the person thinking it.
But do you actually hear it, or you're just because you're imagining the words, you think that you might be perceiving your own voice.
Yeah, it's definitely my voice. It's definitely my – I just listen to
it. But you actually hear it.
Yeah, I hear it.
For it doesn't happen all the time for me. It seems to happen whenever I've done something colossally wrong or something has – or I've broken something. Like I can hear my voice saying, yeah, way to go, jerk, or something like that. And every once in a while I'll voice it myself. Like I'll actually say the words.
But I don't envision anybody speaking. Like I don't see myself speaking. It's just a voice. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't go beyond that.
You've never not known if you said something out loud because you think you like that happens to me. Like, I don't know if I actually said something out loud or if I thought it to myself. That's why I used to hate smoking pot because I didn't know if I talked or not. If I actually heard
that happens to me.
In the chat room, Pristine Sneaker says his internal voice is actually Busta Rhymes.
It's amazing.
Which is bizarre.
Mine is Buster Keaton.
Yeah, so I have the voice that's in my head that I hear or perceive in my head, whether I actually hear it or whether I envision that I'm hearing it, is always my own voice. Until yesterday. And I'm not saying this in a mental health, oh my God, I'm schizophrenic sort of way.
You are, though.
But yesterday, or schizoaffective, as it were, yesterday, as I was laying down to go to bed, I was hearing a voice in my head. But it wasn't even really all that audible what the voice was. And it was just like, wait, I'm hearing a voice. And it's not like, and it was like, as I'm hearing it, and it's like saying, the voice is telling me that I'm hearing a voice. So I'm knowing it's something.
Get off of me. Roll over. I can't breathe.
Oh, it was my wife. Oh, that's what it was. I didn't even realize it. And somehow the voice that I'm hearing, it didn't sound like my usual own internal voice that I hear. But it was obvious that I somehow was controlling the voice because the voice was telling me, no, you're this is a voice that you're hearing. It's just because you can't hear it.
Were you alerted?
What do you mean?
Were you like, whoa, wait a minute. This is a different
Like startled?
Voice. Yeah, a little.
Like scared?
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Okay.
I was laying in bed. I was just like, oh, that's kind of weird. I'm just like, I know logically that it's my own head that's playing this in my head for some reason. And for some reason, I was late. Maybe I was a little punch drunk from playing Warcraft all night. Good night of 25-man raids. But I hadn't slept all that much the night before. So that's what it was. I'm starting to hear this voice. What? You're chomping at the bit to say something.
Yeah, the question is, did you learn anything? Like, did it say something that you didn't know already?
Well, this is the thing. I'm going through this in my head, and I'm hearing this voice, and I know
it's that... Said locked inside a hungry voice.
Listening to this voice and knowing that I'm controlling the voice, but the voice is not mine, I'm just like, wow, this is really insane that my internal voice, like, it's hit puberty, and its voice has changed somehow or something.
Peter Brady.
Yeah, exactly. Time to rearrange.
Change.
Yeah, so it was just kind of weird to me. Then...
Does your inner voice also cut itself shaving like Greg can wear a little paper towel?
Yes, obviously. Then in a way of kind of trumping me and showing me that, no, you don't have control of this inner voice. I'm my own dude in here. My inner voice to me just blurts out the words, the Bronx. What? The Bronx. Did I mention this was me laying in bed about 3:45 in the morning? I had just laid down. I was really tired. And the words, the Bronx, just being blurted into my head by this voice that I don't recognize, had me laughing hysterically. Like, what in the hell is going on that I'm hearing voices blurting out boroughs of New York City to me in the middle of the night? I laugh hysterically and think to myself, man, I got to write this down to talk about it on the show. And then he told me, I'll remind you.
Yeah, that's weird.
I closed my eyes and went to bed.
Oh, no, the wall is breaking.
But it's only happening when you're you're just about to fall asleep.
It's happened once. Happened once yesterday, and everything was normal today. I didn't hear the voice.
No
again.
One's messing with you.
I actually. Oh, who's going to be messing with me?
It was someone outside your window. Your daughter finally pulled a prank.
4:00 in the morning. I'll be honest with you, man. I was thinking about. I watched that stupid Jesse Ventura show, Conspiracy Theory, and him talking about all these mind control things and stuff like that. I got freaked out for like six, maybe 7 seconds. And then
his name
like,
is Alex Jones, not Jesse Ventura.
Same difference. Yeah, and I just went to bed.
Maybe it was some witch doctor in the Bronx.
I don't think that there's any sort of explanation for it. I thought
Jesus
it was
is telling you to move.
I think it was a weird, weird thing in my head for me being tired that I heard it. The fact, though, that... the Bronx got blurted out, and I laughed out loud hysterically because to me it was just like, what the hell's going on? This isn't even real. And I was laughing because it was outright funny because, like, what is this weird voice in my head? It's so odd. I know I'm controlling this. This is weird. The Bronx. What?
Could you make a description of the voice? Was it a high-pitched voice, low-pitched voice?
Just regular. It was a deep voice. It was a man's voice.
It was a man's voice.
Okay. Tom Brokaw.
Yes, NBC Nightly News. That it was just an odd thing. And again, I'm not.
I don't think
I'm crazy. I'm a good person.
Well, anyway, I've had like I've been laying at night and like falling asleep and thinking I'm hearing things and. I was going to say, have you ever had, like, the way I describe it, have you ever had witches scream at you?
What?
Witches?
Wait, yeah. Didn't you say you had night terrors?
I've had the sleep paralysis thing happen sometimes.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I've had eerie,
double, doiling, trouble.
And, yeah, nothing that clever, but just, like, because I usually can't even discern what's being said, or sometimes I can, but, like, I'll just have, like, an angry old lady voice that, like, just an evil presence voice, like, what you would assume an evil presence voice would have, that's what I mean, like, scream at me, and I just, like, wake up, like.
But you're really preoccupied with watching, like, scary horror movies, so that's kind of, that makes sense.
But I'm saying I think it's the same thing, though. You're really preoccupied with, like, Boogie Down Productions.
That's true.
And hip-hop.
Oh, man, if it was Karis, one talking to me saying the Bronx, oh,
maybe
that'd be
it was
awesome.
Scott LaRock.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
But this would wake you... This was a recurring thing, Keith, with the witch voice?
It happens a lot. I don't enjoy it when it does.
The thing is...
I stare at shadows. That's
is it a dream, though? Are you conscious or are you unconscious when it happens?
It's usually in that point where you think you're more conscious than you are. But, like, it's so freaking real. It's scary. It's like you wake up and it's like... All right, because I'm sitting there and... So I'm sitting there, like, with my heart pounding, thinking, okay... All right, I know that stuff doesn't exist, but I just heard that. Like, I just heard that thing. I know I just heard something scream at me in my head.
I just know our buddy Monaco Dom is saying in the Pal Talk room that this stuff happens to him all the time when he's about to fall asleep. Guys yell the Bronx to you, or are you talking about the witches? Which one is it?
Witches yell the Bronx, actually. Yeah,
I love witch Bronx.
Bitches yell the Bronx to him, I think.
I don't get voices, but often I find myself pretty much in any for a long time now, just as I'm going off to sleep, I get tortured by the sound of imaginary rodents running around the place. Like I hear little scurrying things in the corner or something under my bed is kind of going around, and I panic that there's a mouse loose somewhere in my apartment. And having seen mice in apartments before, like it seems like it's real. It could totally be happening, which keeps me up. I've, like, at 5 o'clock in the morning, turned on the lights and crawled underneath my bed with a flashlight, scurrying around looking for holes in the wall.
I haven't actually looked for mice or rodents, but I'm convinced somebody has or is about to break into my house constantly. I've walked out of the bedroom, looked underneath the bed for a person hiding underneath my couch.
Borrow Fred's gun. You'll have nothing to worry about.
That's why I said it. I told him I totally understood that point, because I'm constantly thinking people are breaking in. Witches, actually.
Awesome. That'd be fantastic. Joining us on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this?
It's Monocode.
What's up? What's going on, buddy? How are you?
How you guys doing? I'm doing all right, man. I heard you guys talking about this shit. It's pretty funny because right before I go to bed and I'm kind of in that almost, you know, sleep phase, I just hear people shout out, like, fucking curse words at me, and I just wake up fucking... You know, out of my mind. It actually sounds like, imagine Pristine Mike screaming cunt at the top of his fucking lungs in your face.
I actually do that all the time.
Exactly.
It's soothing.
Yeah, so...
That would lull, yeah, exactly, lull you right to sleep.
I've had two. It's not. I know what you're talking about, because it's not only like the evil old lady's voice. Like I hear people cursing a lot, like, or screaming at me. Definitely, and it's always that time. It's like you're like three quarters asleep, and then like you thought you were like you thought you were more awake than you were. You think, or I don't know, but it's just so realistic, right? It's like you really do. You stop for a second and think somebody actually yelled at you for a split second.
Dude, I shit myself. I wake up and I'm fucking like shaking sometimes, because it's like it's actually someone there yelling at you, but, you know, you wake up for a second, then you're like, all right, was I sleeping or was I awake?
Dom, just so you understand.
That's the fucked up part about it.
Just so you understand, our buddy Barb is saying in the Pal Talk room, you don't realize that's what happens when you fall asleep with Pal Talk still on. That's exactly what the problem is.
You know, it's not sounds for me. It's like a physical presence that happens once every couple weeks for me. I feel like I'm just about to go to sleep, and I imagine suddenly someone has thrown a dodgeball into my face. Like a dodgeball at high speed is banging
in the
face.
You feel it?
It's like, it's not as if I feel it, but I see it, or I feel its presence or something, and then bang, I'm all of a sudden awake. Like I've been scared awake because someone threw a dodgeball in my face. I must have been taunted by dodgeball as a child or something.
Creepy.
It could be that you have some pretty fucking, you know, schizoid fucking development going on in the brain. I don't know, dude.
I agree with that 100%.
I can't believe this guy's voices yell swear words at him at every opportunity.
No, mine is just like cunt and wake up. I think it's from like the trauma I fucking had to go through with my old man growing up telling me to get a fucking job every fucking day, you know?
So, does it ever combine them until you wake up, cunt? You know,
oh, forget it. My old man used to fucking slam on my door with a baseball bat to get me out of bed, dude. And I think that's where it actually comes from.
Charming.
It's pretty fucking scary. Did anything ever happen to you, like, while you were sleeping? And, like, someone used to wake you up abruptly and shit or fucking...
Are you saying to Keith, like, did you ever, is this maybe you're reliving something sort of crazy? Or were you, or Brian, were you ever really hit with dodgeballs when you were sleeping when you were a kid?
Yeah, I never really had anything. The closest thing is my brother scarred me for life when there was a band called Venom. And there's a song called Possessed where he screams, "Look at me, Satan's child." And my brother at 4 in the morning once blasted that when I was like 9 years old.
That's your brother.
I think that scared
pranks
the hell out of me for like 5 years. Yeah, no, nothing really.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that
it could be
happened.
Any of that, man. That could be a traumatic experience that you went through. You know what I mean? Could have been anything. But anyway, that's it, boys. I'm out.
Excellent, buddy Dom. Thanks for calling. That's our buddy Dom from the Vagabond Souls. Good guy. That's me talking
means,
back to us for some reason.
I know what he means. It's scary. It's like scary when somebody's screaming at you, and it's just like, because you really think like, all right, I have to figure out, like, well, in my head, it's like I have to figure out how somebody screamed at me. And then, like, finally I wake up fully out of it, and I'm like, oh, all right, so it must be that I imagined it. And then I'm just, like, out of the corner of my head, I'm like, I think.
See, the weirdest thing about the dodgeball effect for me is that almost immediately after that, I'll go to sleep. Like, it's not a soothing experience, but it always means, oh, I'm going to go to sleep now. Like, bang, oh, I've just been startled, and seconds later I'm going to be asleep.
It's the anti-alarm clock?
Sort of, yeah.
It's the
really
unalarm
weird
clock.
Like, I guess it happens if I'm stressing out about sleep, and then that'll happen, and, oh, okay, finally, I'm going to get to sleep.
I don't know if you know the whole alien abduction thing. People think they were abducted by aliens.
Not aliens from the Bronx, right?
No, not yet. They seem to think that... the aliens in the Bronx are just waiting to get a job.
They're at the Home Depot? Oh, that's okay. I forgot.
A lot of people think, like, psychiatrists and scientists and, you know, smart type of people think that the sleep paralysis, that night terror thing, is also called old hag's disease, because a lot of people think they see, like, this black cloaked old woman hovering over them, like, as, and you can't wake yourself up. But they think that that's why these people are so convinced they were abducted by aliens. They were actually, like, in a waking dream state and
sleepy.
And, yeah.
Just had a little sleepy, silly.
So it's,
no, that
it's,
sounds logical. Dumbass. Yeah, it's because they were abducted by aliens. That's what you're suggesting.
No,
he's suggesting that people who think they were abducted by aliens were actually having these weird dream type things that are giving them the misconception.
Okay, so you acknowledge that in fact they weren't abducted by aliens. You're just thinking they're crazy.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Hey, Fred, remember before when I said the three of us were bringing Brian down? I don't know what the hell just happened there.
Yeah. Wow. So basically, people that I'll go over it again.
Hit him in
for
the
those
face
of you that
with a dodgeball.
I just dodgeballed the radio show. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so they think that people basically think that they're being abducted by aliens because they're actually just dreaming and awake. But so, yeah, it's scary what happens when you fall asleep. Why does everyone dream they're falling? Not to turn this into a dream.
I don't know. I don't think I ever really had a falling. I mean, I'm sure when I was a kid I did, but I don't remember falling so much.
Oh, I have them constantly. It's so annoying, too. It's when they're so tired and you fall asleep nice and it's like...
I have falling sometimes. I don't know why, but I have that falling dream, too.
Do you ever hear? I hear loud noises and see test patterns sometimes.
Is it because that you're in the most
I guess, forget it. I mean, sleeping is just so weird because
you're... Ryan, you got any more dodgeball comments?
You're in a state where, like, I guess you're at your most vulnerable when you're about to go to sleep. You know what I mean? Your eyes are closed. You're not aware of your surroundings. And I think that's why maybe you...
Your guard is down.
Your guard is down. And then all of a sudden, maybe you're aware that your guard is down. And that's why you get that, like, jolting, you know... Whether it be dodgeball feeling,
so or. some you're generating it of yourself because yourself is becoming aware of your unaware.
Yes,
I mean I'm going to tell you this is the deepest amount of pot talk that I've had with you in a long time, but it actually makes sense. No. I actually think there's something there. There's something to it.
Well, think about when man first came to be. You know, sleeping.
I
is
wasn't
the most,
there.
Yeah. Well. You can imagine sleeping was their most vulnerable time, and it, you know, they
wake up dead. Exactly,
you would wake up in
a dinosaur's right mouth. Now, yeah, exactly. This is totally so pot talk.
Well, aren't you really dead when you're asleep,
dude? You've been dying since the day you were born. Like a man. Sometimes he like if you think about the dinosaurs, right? And we're hanging out, and then sometimes you're thinking, but then you're not thinking, and by not having words. You know the vulnerable
Bronx!
Part. Oh, sorry, Dad.
I can't believe you turned into Jim Brewer when you
got here. Come on, I'm trying to evolve the Otto. I'm trying to stop the Otto when I talk high.
But most of the time, I don't dream at all. I mean, you guys dream every time you go to sleep.
I've been doing nothing but dreaming lately, and it's annoying because it's not even like scary nightmare dreams. It's like annoying life thing dreams. Like it's just like. Like, I'll be back at a job that I hate, but, like, I'm there always. You know, like, I can't ever leave. Or, like, I guess that is sort of, like, a nightmare thing. But, I don't know, I have weird, like, real-life dreams lately. It's annoying, because at night, it's like, you know what? I know I'm going to have these annoying dreams again tonight. I don't want to. I just want to go to sleep.
So you can't even sleep and get satisfaction out of that.
I do. You know what it is? I wake up, and then, like, I keep waking up for the next few hours, like, having these weird dreams. Sometimes it's just like, all right, you know what? That's it. I can't do this anymore, because... a couple times I woke up singing songs in my head, and I was like, wow, I don't know what that song is, but that's the greatest song in the world. And then, like, every morning I would think, I have to, like, sing that. That's a good song. I just wrote a good song. And then, like, in my half-asleep state, I would just say, you know what? I definitely probably just, like, was singing a Smith song or something, and I'm too tired to realize it. Until one morning I actually got up, and I was conscious, and I'm singing the song in my head, and I'm like, wait. That really is. I really did make up that song. It's my own song. And then I remember it was a Syd Barrett song because I wasn't as awake as I thought I was.
Good thing to think you made, though.
You know, he's dead.
He was probably talking to you. Sick. I don't know. I don't know what to say, bro. I'm all left up.
I don't know what to tell you, bro.
I'm all left up right now thinking about this whole thing with the dreams and whatnot.
So you I assume there's a one-time thing. Was it just recently that it happened?
Yesterday.
This
last night. The last fortnight.
So good. That was like 4 nights ago.
Twas yesterday. I don't know. I don't speak old English. I don't speak oldie. So I don't know exactly what it is.
Will you be scared if he comes back, this voice?
Are you going to try to chat him up a little bit this time?
I don't think that there's anything that's going to really scare me legitimately with stuff like that. I understand well enough that this is it's a product of my own mind in one way or another, probably due to my excessive tiredness. So I'm not really.
If you had to explain this voice, like by the sound of it, could you explain the voice physically? Like, could you have a physical picture of the person in your head? Like when you think of the voice,
I'm going to say he's handsome. I'm going to say he's a handsome fella. I'm going to say he's probably 5'11¾", about 100 and maybe 217 pounds.
Okay.
And,
is it me?
I think
am I outside your window?
I'm going to say very, very. He wears lots of black sweatpants. Yeah, no, I don't know. No, it was a nondescript masculine voice that was a little deeper than my own.
That's not me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little deeper than my own. That was it.
I'd be scared if voices were creeping up into my head.
Hush. I don't want anything to think about it. Everything's fine.
I mean, the fact that it's so detailed, like that he actually, like when I say I hear my mind's voice, I actually don't actually hear the voice. Like
I've never had that before in my entire life. And that was, yeah, of course we all have voices in our head. We think. And the voice you're hearing in your head is yourself thinking. But the thinking said things that I wouldn't say that made me laugh. And that's odd.
In a specific, undiscernible voice. Like, not undiscernible, like a voice that you just didn't recognize.
Right.
But it actually
That's really
existed.
Weird.
That is weird.
Why you got scary to me. I'm just trying to have a nice radio show here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, where I say to people sometimes, you're joining us on the hottest of all lines. Who's this?
I just love cheese.
What's that? What was that? I just love cheese. I just love cheese.
I wish I could eat some bacon.
What the, this is...
I wish I could have a bigger word.
We are on the phone, right? I'm not just hearing this right now. You guys know what... Hello? Daddy?
I don't know.
I want this strips.
I can't believe my inner voice is telling me about meat and cheese right now in the Bronx.
I think there's something wrong with our connection. I think it's a thing.
It is a form of psychosis, man. I'd be scared.
What are you talking about? You've upgraded this to some sort of serious issue. I heard a silly voice. It was fun. It's no problem.
Pretty soon that silly voice will be telling you to do things, and you're going to be doing them.
Tomorrow, I hope it tells me, put it all on 23. And all of a sudden, I'll put it all on 23, and I'll be high, 16 hookers, oh, killing three dudes. It's going to be the greatest night of my life.
He told you he wanted the hookers to be 16.
Oh, see, I always get things confused. He wasn't clear. He's always so like weird and cloudy with the messages he's trying to get us.
Remember to blame him when you get caught.
I will.
A professional will tell you that you definitely have the beginnings of a problem.
I didn't see my professional this week. I'll see him next week.
Will you tell him about the voice?
Oh God, yeah. Now you guys got me. You know, you don't even have me paranoid. I know full well what it is. I don't think it's a big deal. I think it's all fine.
Keep the knives away from Chris for the rest of the show.
Awesome.
I'm sorry, Chris. Did you need to say something?
What?
Were you going to say something?
I said for the rest of the show. For the rest of the show, that show being Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk. The thing you do with your ears, place to be, the radio home of all sorts of fine talk radio goodness that you should be enjoying every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday night here.
You know, it's funny that you're hearing voices. I've been
apparently we just did a whole bunch of jokes about it for a good 20 minutes. Much to my chagrin,
I've been having a concern about voices as well, or actually something that I noticed recently that I wanted to share with you guys and see if this is cool. It's sort of like an etiquette question, I guess, and it's about the use of phones over which voices are carried. Sorry, it was a real stretch.
You tried though. You get a. Yeah.
That's what I get for trying.
You get a dodgeball for effort. That's what you're going to get.
That's what I get for trying. I've noticed something recently that I only have a cell phone. A long time ago, like probably most of the universe these days, I ditched my landline. So I only have like a cell phone. And I found that there's things that I do differently on cell phones that I do on regular phones that have changed the sort of dynamic on how I think I speak with other people, and I suspect how the rest of the world speaks. I was curious if I'm doing it right, or if I'm committing a faux pas.
A phone pas.
Look at that.
I phone pa the other day.
I invented that.
Say hi to you.
That's my new business. Oh, hi, pa. How you doing? That's my new invention, my new business. Phone pas. Wait, I guess it's not really sellable. Damn it. Sorry, what you were saying?
I've been noticing something specifically, and I'm sure there's a lot of other things that maybe come out of this, but I get phone calls from people who have blocked their number or have somehow restricted it so I can't see who's calling.
Star 67.
Well, I don't even – that's the other thing is I don't even know if, like, those kind of things work with cell phones anymore, like the regular kind.
You can block, but anonymous call reject, which I love, which makes people unblock their number.
You have to dial star something else to get into this person because they hate not knowing who you are so they can avoid you.
If you're calling someone, then you have no reason to not – it's insane that you can call someone on a cell phone and block your number, but you can't prevent those people from calling you.
The person you are trying to reach wants to avoid you. That's exactly the sound that it should make when you call.
And only in Europe can you actually block blocked calls from calling you. You have to accept them.
Like when I had a landline, I really didn't use caller ID. I think I actually had a little gadget that showed me who called, but I don't think I actually ever looked at it. When the phone rang and I was there, I picked it up. That was just the law. And if I didn't, that's like I was kind of a jerk for doing it. But I don't feel that level of commitment with a cell phone. If someone calls me and the cell phone doesn't show up and I don't know who it is, I don't answer it. No exceptions. It's really not happened to me until recently. One of my friends signed up for a new phone and must have like turned on their little block thing. So now every other day I get a phone call from someone who blocks their number. And then they don't get me, and they call my girlfriend, and it's blocked for her. She's not picking it up either. We end up getting all these messages from blocked calls. and they're wondering why we're not answering it, and it's because you block your phone call.
Yeah, unblock your number, and we'll answer it.
So it's legit. Maybe. It's okay. It's acceptable. Now in our modern cell phone world, it's okay to be a jerk and just simply not answer a phone call.
But who do you think is being the bigger jerk? The person that isn't answering to who they don't know when in an age of constant calls from telemarketers and things? Or the person that feels the need to call you but doesn't feel like you should know who they are until you pick up the phone?
I guess. I mean, that's – it's not like I'm doing it out of spite. I'm just doing it because I only want to talk to someone who I feel I know. I never would have done that with a landline. If I didn't know who was calling, I'd feel, like, obligated
to
pick it up
and
call them.
The person that's blocking their number and making the call is in the wrong.
Right.
What is the legal reason for doing that, first of all?
But why wasn't it wrong 2 months ago when I had a land phone?
It was. I thought it was wrong then, too. It's just that it's more annoying on cell phones because I think it's wrong. Because I don't think if you want to talk to me, then I should know who you are. If I shouldn't know who you are, then you have nothing to say to me the way I look at it.
You shouldn't be able to start a phone conversation with surprise.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, I understand the logic of it, but my question is, why is it more acceptable to deal with it that way on a cell phone than it is on a landline? Like you kind of said.
I think you're the only person that thought it wasn't acceptable. No? I think a lot of people have no problem ignoring on a landline,
like a landline
as well,
landline.
A blocked call, yeah. A lot of people block it. A good amount of people do the anonymous call reject, and you get that little message that Chris was talking about.
The person you have reached hates you.
No, the Bronx.
Oh, sorry, wrong message.
I guess it's, the old guy kind of complaining or realizing finally how this new technology has changed how we talk to each other. But this is like...
When I was your age, we would call Bensonhurst 361, and everyone would answer for us.
Right. Remember when you didn't have to dial the area code when you were in the area code that you were dialing from? That thing?
That
I mean,
great.
It just seemed like...
They brought that back for a while, and then they got rid of it again.
What's that?
Well, you didn't have to dial the area code.
When did they bring it back?
They brought it back a couple years ago.
No way.
Yeah,
I don't remember that at all.
They did. Maybe it was like 10 years ago now. And then they brought it back very briefly.
I've worked in telecom for close to 15, I'm going to say for close to 20 years. No, not 20 years. Like 15 years. And I don't remember them bringing that back ever.
Do you remember when you had to remember telephone numbers? Like, do you know your own telephone number?
My own? My girlfriend's?
You actually know your girlfriend's telephone number?
Yes.
Yeah, he calls her from across the room all the time, says, hey, could you bring me a drink?
Yeah, but he doesn't dial in the number. He goes to his little notebook application inside your phone and says, call girlfriend.
When
I know that from
call Putsy.
I know that.
You used to have to know people's numbers. What's with all these Rolodexes in the phone?
We used to have to know people before we called them. Yeah, I would dial her from work. That's probably the reason it's embedded into my head, the number. But yeah, like I don't three people at this table that I call fairly regularly, and I don't know any of your phone numbers. Like when I hear my voicemail telling me from 347 and whatever number, I'm like, oh, well, Chris
3-4-7.
I know Chris is by
767-4-BIS.
Exactly, and I think who's this? And then usually it's one of you from like 4 days before that saying, "Hey, it's
Keith,
call
me back. Call me back this second. I don't know if this is enough blood, if this is too much blood, or what."
All right, okay. Keith.
When he calls back, turns out it wasn't a big deal. Don't worry about it.
Keith Fu in the chat room kind of realizes this because we share the same friend, and this friend must also call him because he's figuring it out. He thinks he knows who this person who blocks a phone number calls him at, and I'm wondering if he also ignores it as well. Like, now it's gotten to the point where if it's a blocked phone call, I kind of know who the person – I know that it's this person.
Well, if it shows up at my house as private, I know it's either my mother or my wife's mother just because they have unlisted numbers.
Do you answer it?
Yeah,
Because you know it's them.
Of course.
Now it's like I know it's this person, but I won't answer it because it might not be.
I answer it all the time, and when it turns out to be my mom, I get so annoyed. Like, God damn it. I could have let that go. Damn it.
Yeah, I get like it is a lot. Like I get like my dad calls from an unblocked number, so most of the time I'll know. But like if it's when he's in work and I see it, I know it's usually like a telemarketer, so I answer it all. See, I do answer it because then it annoys me that somebody called and didn't leave a voicemail because it's always it's always a telemarketer that called and doesn't leave a voicemail.
But I see no other purpose for having a blocked call than to make a prank phone call.
Exactly.
That's the only – is that the only
– This is Kissel.
is that who you're afraid is calling?
No. You know what? There was a guy named Seymour Butts that his family must have had my phone number because they used to call looking for him all the time. So it's not always a prank.
It's really weird that I actually had a conversation about Buttman today, not to be confused with Seymour Butts, although you have something else in totally in mind.
But it's, I think it's okay. Brian, go on ignoring that guy. Stop being his friend, actually. I would just completely stop even being his friend.
Well, that's what I mean, is that I acknowledge...
Go to his house with a paper bag on and bring his door.
Don't say who it is. Just yell Bronx.
Stand there. Over and over. Stand there.
Bronx. Make sure you get the, though, because we have to say it's the Bronx. Sorry. You don't want to confuse
go,
it.
Go make him dial star 77 before you'll take it off.
I feel like, because now at this point I kind of know who it is. And I actually want to talk to this person, but I feel like I'm being a jerk. And is, maybe just standing.
Is it someone that's ever called you and their number has shown up unprotected?
It's been a semi recent change when it became blocked.
Did they get off that stupid AT&T?
I think yeah, they have a real switched phone? Carrier. Something happened when they made
answer your phone.
That's yeah, I know.
Maybe it's someone calling about a job.
Yeah.
Maybe it's someone calling about
it's
a job.
Probably not someone calling about a job.
But maybe it is.
Or a doctor calling with like a checkup or something. Like a
Brian, test came back negative.
You are not a human. No, I do feel bad for not talking to this person. It's not like I don't want to talk to this person. I just don't want to. I want to know precisely who it is before I actually answer the phone.
Is this person important?
It's a close friend.
No, I mean like in life. Are they like a diplomat or something like that where they need to have their phone
number? Oh, no. There's no
some
real
have
reason
private
for them
numbers.
To have it.
They want to keep their number private. They don't want people to have their thing. Fred, read your phone, your home phone number over the air right now. People want certain things to be private.
It's true.
It could be private. That's all.
But
I'm dumbfounded by the fact that we're sitting at a table with a guy who has his resume out there in an attempt to get jobs that's screening his calls when it shows up as private. That is nuts to me.
Yeah.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Yeah.
Well, if they want to give me the job, they'd leave me a voicemail.
I don't. I just.
I've never gotten, for the record, and that's part of the reason also that I answer it. But a job has never called me from a blocked number or
how do you know? You're never
number.
Answering them.
Exactly.
You know. No, I said I pick them up because I get
been
angry.
Hired by them. It could have been them. You might have missed them.
I actually went for an interview, and he congratulated me, and then he's like, oh, but you didn't pick up that call.
Didn't you apply for a job at Alcoholics Anonymous? Don't they not have, you don't know what that number is.
Brian. Actually, I applied for a job with my dad.
Brian, you get a call, but it's not blocked, but it's an unrecognizable one. Do you answer?
If it is an unrecognizable number, something that I don't know, I got to play it by ear, but the chances are pretty high that I'm ignoring it, that I'm not going to call it back.
By play it by ear, you mean wait to hear somehow if the ring tells you it's
someone else? I might write it down and go stalk it on the internet and find out who it is, and then I'll call them back. Mm-hmm. That's my
you're a go-getter.
Yeah. I don't want to.
Is this an alternate reality game calling me? You're trying to start me playing?
Sort of.
Do you guys have separate rings for everybody? I have a separate ring for everyone in the room, like a specific ring.
Am I still gone till November? I really love. Can I
call it and see?
Oh, no. I don't talk to enough people. Everyone has the same ring.
Everyone.
I don't even have my ringer on. It's usually just vibrating.
Hold on, let me get here's Richard
you guys
have Stabone.
Fancy phones.
I have Richard Stabone. Let me dial him because I still don't know what sitcom actor you're going to answer as. Let's see. It's vibrating. You have it on vibrate. You have it set to Magic Blender.
Nice.
So that's Chris's ring.
So if you ever hear that any place, you know that I'm calling Keith wherever you are.
I can't call Keith because my phone blows. I have no bars.
Don't call me at the same time, guys.
It's all good, but if it shows up as private on his thing, it'd be great.
I can't even, like, I have no phone function.
Yeah, I don't think I can do
it. AT&T, you have to be a Siamese twin.
You could use my phone if you like Wyclef. Give him a call from my phone. You'll be fine.
Well, neither of you guys can call me right now.
They both have the same company, right? You guys both have that same terrible company.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Call failed.
You guys are smart.
Wow. So
your phone service is fail. That's exactly what it is.
For the record, that last bit was brought to you by AT&T.
You're listening to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
My name is Kevin, and I'm one of over 1 million Americans who's a cancer survivor in their 20s or 30s, and one of nearly 70,000 young adults who are diagnosed with cancer every year. As a young adult, I found it hard to relate to the other survivors who were much older than me. All I wanted was to hang out with people my age who I could relate to. I felt like I was the only one going through this. Until I found the I'm Too Young for This Cancer Foundation, a global support community with an attitude just for survivors in their 20s and 30s. when finally a place to fit in. I signed up at stupidcancer.com, and I was immediately connected to tens of thousands of other young adult survivors from all over the place, and a wealth of free programs, tools, and support resources. So, if you're the only one you know getting chemo without diapers or dentures, log on to stupidcancer.com and get connected with the next generation of cancer survivors in their 20s and 30s.
When the weather starts to warm up, everyone wants to hit the gym to look good, but there's no need for all that. You can look good by sporting your favorite Hear Us Talk logos and designs all year round. Log on to hearustalk.spreadshirt.com and check out the latest apparel. Men and women can find everything from t-shirts and track jackets to hooded and zippered sweatshirts featuring all of your favorite Hear Us Talk designs. If not hitting the gym has left you too big or too small, we'll have a size to fit you. So check out hearustalk.spreadshirt.com and cover yourself with us.
Just so you know, when I was in the restroom hearing Brian, the intensity of his voice in 30 seconds was the greatest thing I ever heard in my life. Listen to Best in Show.
I'm sorry.
On the internet.
I just, big bluesy rock, it threw me a little bit. But you are listening to Best in Show Radio on hearustalk.com. Things to do with the ears and the place to be. You know what? Hearustalk.spreadshirt.com. Is that where you get that merchandise that we were just listening to?
Absolutely. When it's sunny and hot and you want to just wear shirts or put weight on or something, that's where you go.
But when you're indoors, what you should be doing? You should be talking to millions of people around the world. They could be your neighbor. They could be next to you. They could be in your downstairs basement. They could be around the world, and you can find them all on ICU2.com. Because ICU2 is the premier internet chat service. It's award-winning. It's the original. Are people hearing this right now? Because I see anger all over Chris's face.
It's my computer. Don't worry about it.
Okay. ICU2.com is the number one internet chat service around because it's full of brilliant features. It's got the panic button. So if your boss hovers over you and wants to know why you're looking at, something. No, I don't have a boss, but if those of you with jobs.
That's not what I was laughing at. I'm sorry.
You can hit your panic button. You can run 5 chat windows at once. There's lobbies. You can dance. You can play music. You can choose who gets to see your video. You can choose whose videos you want to see. Tons of features like that.
I'm on it. I love it.
Are you really?
Yep.
I got to talk to you on ICU2 from now on. I didn't know you were on that. I didn't know you were like an internet type of guy, Fred.
SweetBelly16 is my ICU2.com.
Nice. Wait a minute. That was you? I feel like color me embarrassed.
They got
you didn't have your cam on. Or did you?
There's tons of people. Don't worry about it. There's so many people on ICU2.com. You don't need Fred.
I'm going to hang out with all of them. How do I do this? I have a Windows computer. Can I use it?
Yes. Yes, you can.
Thank you. After I'm done using it, can I go to ICU2?
Yes. Go to ICU2.com, download the free trial, and away you go. It installs in seconds, and you instantly connect, and you're at the biggest party in the world. ICU2.com.
Nice. Come on.
Biggest party in the world with the world's most distracting bed of music underneath it.
Yeah.
Try to do a commercial over this. It's called distracting. Come on, try it. Yeah, wow.
Really? That sounds absolutely. Like, I don't know if you guys ever saw that movie Ghost World, but there was a band called Blueshammer, and they're like, I don't know. It's like a bunch of frat boys playing blues songs.
But. Band called Ripping Hammer.
That's Bob Log the Third.
What was it?
Bob Log the Third. He's a one-man band.
Congratulations.
He should check out ICU2.com.
He either likes the White Stripes or the White Stripes like him.
He can definitely find 3 or 4 other band members on ICU2.
Ah, see, then he'd actually be a full something or other.
So anyway, that's what's in the news, Fred.
Whoa, speaking of news, Keith. Wow, funny you say news. Because I always wonder what you guys think about certain stories in the news and in the media, like... Just
Tiger Woods, y'all.
Yeah, Tiger Woods and all those scandals and things. So
I think he's a golfer.
Good, very good.
So what we're going to do right now is we're going to have a little roundtable discussion, and it's called True Opinions. And I'm going to go around and I'm going to ask you guys what are the other people's opinions about certain news stories.
So we're not really having a roundtable discussion. We're having a discussion about previous roundtable discussions.
Yeah, yeah.
Ish?
Ish.
Okay.
Chris and Keith, What do you, I asked Brian.
Wait a minute. Is this like almost a game show?
Well, you know, kinda. Kinda.
Exciting.
You want to do a music bed for that? I got one.
What's Brian's true opinion on same-sex marriage? Is it, I'm for it, but it's just not for me? Did he say, mankind would cease to exist if we let gays get married? Or did he say, everyone deserves the freedom to enter into whatever contractual lie they allow themselves to be pressured into? What's Brian's true opinion?
It's obviously the last one.
I would say that. I don't think it's the middle one. I was wondering, like, could Brian actually have some reason that he thinks that, like, gay people for their own for their own well-being shouldn't be allowed to be married, but I try to think in the Brian mind, but I don't think Brian would ever restrict anyone's rights. So I say it has to be C. As what was the first one though, Fred?
The first one was I'm for it, which means I'm for them getting married, just not for me.
No, it's got to be the last one.
I can't say I'm sad. It was the last one.
Give those guys a point, man.
Yeah. Wait, so this is a scoring game.
That's Brian's true opinion.
I believe it.
I don't play if there's no prize.
Brian, I want you to understand that I think that's super. I think you're great. I agree with you.
Oh, you do?
Of course.
I think, what did I say?
I got no problem with it, but just keep it away from me, fag. I think was your exact quote.
I said, stupidity has no sexual orientation.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, put that on a bumper sticker.
I mean, the time and the money being spent for this whole debacle.
Oh, man, come on.
It's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous.
I try to avoid, I have said it myself, I try to avoid political talk, and I don't want to sidetrack the game show, but
HeroesTalk.com, political talk, coming at you.
I've started to get to the point where
Politalk.
It's gotten me to the point now where the fact that people are voting to decide whether or not people that have nothing to do with them can get married is like the most infuriating thing in the world. So, but anyway,
it's just dumb. It's just dumb, and I expect whatever.
But I expect
nothing but dumb from everything in the world anyway, so it's no different.
Brian, Chris,
oh boy,
what's Keith's true opinion on the Corey Haim death? Is it?
It didn't happen.
Is it? It's sad when people die. Is his true opinion, bad press is still good press? Or is it, no comment, it hits too close to home? What's Keith's true opinion on the Corey Haim death?
I'm torn between 1 and 3.
I'm going to break the pattern and say 2. Because
bad press is still good press?
Yeah, because it's so obnoxiously illogical and funny.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Read me 3 one more time.
No comment. It hits too close to home.
Yeah, that's it.
3?
Yes. Yeah. I guess I was wrong. Really? Really stupid? Why'd you just say that in response?
No one gets a point. Keith's true opinion is it's sad when people die.
I believe that's the type of person that Keith is.
He's going way out on a limb there, isn't he? That's a different way to think about that.
He's standing by that. He's making that statement officially on behalf of Best in
Death
Show.
Death is sad.
Do you have that official statement sound effect anymore?
Keith, Bry, what is Chris's true opinion on Obama's healthcare plan? Is it 1, what is a Obama's healthcare plan? Is it 2, regardless of the cost to the taxpayers, an all-inclusive healthcare plan is necessary? Or is it 3? I have a good plan already, and I don't think Obama's healthcare plan has many holes in it.
So can you read those again? Because I got sidetracked.
I'm going to say 1. What is an Obama's healthcare plan?
Okay.
2. Regardless of the cost to the taxpayers, an all-inclusive healthcare plan is necessary. Or is it 3? I have a good healthcare plan already. I think Obama's healthcare plan has holes in it. What's Chris's true opinion?
I'm going to say 3, only because you muddled it the first time, which means you didn't think of it.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah. Good logic.
What are you thinking? What's Keith? What's Chris's true
and
opinion?
And it also
Keith?
Started off with a I have a good health plan thing, which means nothing to the argument. It is actually nonsense.
I feel like Chris's off-the-cuff response would be, what's Obama's health care plan? But he would never let that be his
what
final answer.
What is Obama's health care plan?
I'm going to say it's C also because I think Chris's normal reaction would be to think, well, okay, what is my health care plan and how does it affect everyone? So I'll say C.
Wow, my stupid stutter came in handy. You guys are both wrong. It's 2. Regardless of the cost to the taxpayers, an all-inclusive health care plan is necessary.
F both of you guys. I have insights. Let me alone.
Wasn't it as long as gays don't get married and we have to give them health care too?
Chris, Brian, what is Keith's true opinion on the Toyota car brake recall? You know, the Toyota cars are having all these recalls.
What's a Toyota brake recall?
What are brakes?
What is Keith's true opinion on the Toyota car brake recall?
It's also brake recall. Is it?
Well, it's just part of it's from the brakes.
No, it's not.
What do you mean?
It's the accelerator. The accelerator pedal sticks.
Yeah, whatever
close,
that is.
Close.
Stopping, going, right, what's the difference?
Is it 1? I don't know. I walk. Is it 2? Just increase the speed limit. Or is it 3? Toyota's reputation is forever tarnished. What's Keith's true opinion on the Toyota car recall?
I think it's 2 because it's the funniest.
It's such an obvious joke that Fred would have went for, but I'll try it anyway. I don't know. I just walk.
Give Brian a point. He got Keith's true opinion. Just increase the speed limit.
That's great. I love that.
It's logical.
Well, we're all tied up at 1 here on true opinions. Chris, Keith, what is Brian's true opinion on U.S. involvement in other countries' natural disasters? Is it 1? Look at Katrina. We failed there. How could we possibly help anyone else sufficiently? Is Brian's true opinion 2, the U.S. government shouldn't be expected to jump in and head the recovery of every natural disaster on the planet? Or is it 3, the handling of natural disasters in this country or in any other should be paid for with the disaster site's funds and no one else's? What's Brian's true opinion on natural disasters in other countries?
This is a rough one. I could see...
I'm going to say 1.
You're going to say, look at Katrina, we failed there. How could we possibly help anyone else efficiently?
I'm going to say 1.
What was number 2?
2 was the U.S. government shouldn't be expected to jump in and head the recovery of every natural disaster on the planet.
I'm going to say that 1.
2? Give Keith a point. That is Brian's true opinion.
Kind of. It's sort of like a combination of 2 and 3.
And I'm getting that from when I asked Brian, were you talking about charity? And I said, did you give any money to Haiti? And he said, screw them. We have enough problems here.
It's not even that. I unfortunately did not follow Fred's instructions, and I wrote easily a paragraph.
A book.
Like 5 sentences on it. Oh, they combined 2 and 3.
So the abridged version is what we just got there as your real answer?
2 and 3 is actually the answer. Because I do believe that America should be involved in it. It just shouldn't be us. We should set up international.
Us 4? We don't have to pay anything.
It should be an international thing, and we should be, well, forget it.
Blah, blah, blah. Keith, Brian, what's Chris's true opinion on the chef in New York City that's making cheese with his wife's breast milk? Is it 1, that's disgusting, and I like piss? Is it 2, I would try it, and to be honest, probably love it? Or is it 3? I'm repulsed at the idea of eating human cheese, but as long as it's there, as long as they're upfront about it, they should be able to sell it.
Give me the first and the third again. I'm sorry.
First one is, that's disgusting, and I like piss. The third is, I'm repulsed at the idea of eating human cheese, but as long as they're upfront about it, they should be able to sell it.
All right, so what was the second one?
And the second one is, I would try it, and to be honest... probably love it.
And what was the first? No, I'm sorry. I'm gonna guess.
Fourth one. What was the fourth one?
I'm gonna say it has to be 3.
I'm repulsed at the idea of eating human cheese, but as long as they're upfront about it, they should be able to sell it.
I think his original answer was 3, but now that he heard 2, he wants to change it. So I'm gonna say 3, with a 2 caveat. Oh, and one might be right.
Oh, wait a second. This is Chris?
Which
this
one was two?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking this is Brian.
Which one was two?
Two is I would try it, and to be honest, probably love it. This is Chris's true
opinion.
Oh,
it's on two. About, it's definitely two. Can I change my answer?
About the New York, sure. But the New York chef that's making cheese out of his wife's breast milk.
Man, I don't know if you know... Like, if you really do know Chris extremely well to have taken words I can just hear him uttering. Like, I can hear him saying those words like his Bronx friend.
I would try it, and to be honest, probably love it.
There is audio evidence of me on our old radio show, The Brown Lodge, talking about I would try and eat human if it was available. I've definitely said
that. You can't also hear him saying, that's disgusting, and I like piss.
See, his first answer...
That's true. That's actually true. I do like piss.
Number three would be more like his answer to the Obama question, but I'm going to say two.
You're going two? Bri, you're going three?
Again, I think three was his original answer, but he now wants to change it to two. So three.
You're saying three.
Yeah.
Give Brian a point. That is Chris's true opinion.
Why would I want to change it to two? It was true answers. I wasn't trying to be funny. I was being serious, and I gave my true opinion.
Yeah, but you now think the second answer is a better answer, no?
But it's not true. I wouldn't. I still think it's disgusting. I still don't want to eat human cheese. Okay. I think it's pretty filthy. I think they should be allowed to do it, but it's kind of – I don't like the idea of eating – it. Although eating cow cheese is kind of gross too.
Yeah, you know what it was? The thought of like the milk thing, I don't want anything to do with either one, but the milk thing wasn't nearly as gross. For some reason, turning it into cheese, just like that whole process, just...
Better than if it came out of cheese.
I picture like the cottage cheese coming out of the nipple.
Mm. Well, that's insane. Then you just don't like cheese at all because they turn cow
cheese.
I know.
But it's just for some reason like the human milk thing turned to
There's
cheese.
There's something
like,
almost cannibalistic about it. Almost. Even though it's
I've
not.
I've heard people say that. That's ridiculous.
I know it's not. And I know logically it's not. It's actually the food that we're meant to be eating.
Yeah.
But there's something that feels cannibalistic about it.
We're meant to be eating it at you know, a certain age. You're not supposed to be eating it when you're an adult.
The problem... Oh, no, I think it's fine. The problem that I have with it is not, like, the gross factor, because if you've ever, like, seen work on a farm, you'd be grossed out by regular milk.
Sure.
Because watching someone make milk from a cow is repulsive.
Remember, we're talking to the inventor of the chicken. Right? He knows his way around the farm.
But, like, it's probably weird for most people or Americans just because we have sexualized the breast, the human breast, so much that, like, there's something dirty and filthy about it. But that's why most people are disgusted by it. But it's nowhere near cannibalism. I think the problem is
you're eating a product of someone else's body.
It's not the...
Would you eat schmegma?
It's not that, no. I
How about my sperm cheese?
I'm asking. This has nothing to do with this. I'm just asking. You doing anything after the show?
Sperm cheese? Like if I had like made my sperm into a cheese?
No,
like,
I wouldn't
would that
eat
be
another person's sperm.
But you would
my product? And what if it was nutrient rich?
I mean, if I was going to starve, I suppose I would have to be forced
I have
to
a protein rich liquid that you could enjoy.
The problem I have with it is if it catches on. Like, if it becomes a product, now human beings, now you know that someone's going to have to farm out human breast milk, which means there's going to be, like, mothers hooked up to mechanical, and now those people's lives are going to be, like, you know, cattle. Yeah.
I just feel like it's going to be awesome. They're going to be rolling in dough.
I wonder if there's any transmittable diseases that you could get from doing that. Like, if...
Yeah,
probably.
If you have hepatitis or something
no,
like that.
No, I don't.
No.
I have the test to prove it.
I'm sure you can pasteurize it, just like you do every other milk product out there. Sheep's milk,
you're
goat's
saying you
milk,
would try it,
cow's
right?
milk.
You would try the breast milk cheese?
He is an aficionado of cheeses, of various stinky cheeses, so why wouldn't he try a little, where was it in here? Baby titty cheese is being said by an anonymous Ustreamer. Baby titty cheese.
Yeah.
I block anonymous Ustreamers.
If I got to put my money where my mouth is, as it were, I probably am not going to be eating the milk. And it's because I've been sucked into the whole like sexualization of breast milk as well.
It's not the sexy. I can't imagine the sexy is the problem. It's just a little gross to eat product from someone. Eating other people's is giggy. I don't like that. I don't want to eat other people's giggy.
Yeah, it's very oof.
I like piss and I wouldn't even eat it. I'd dance in it, but that's about it.
Is the reason for this because he figures that there's going to be enough people that are going to pay? First of all, the rarity of it is obvious. So.
I like mine well done.
They're going to pay so much money.
He actually can't sell it at his restaurant, but he advertises in his restaurant, and he sells it out of his home. because it's not FDA approved. Like, you can't sell.
How are you allowed to do that?
I thought she was too salty, and now they want to ban salt.
He doesn't sell it in the restaurant. People have to come to his house and, I guess, sample it. He says sample, but they're probably buying it. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's...
Poor lady. Like, I mean, that's you got to produce a lot of breast milk to make cheese out of it. Like, milk reduces down a lot to make cheese. And she's making huge...
I'm just imagining the sounds in his house, and there's just, a conveyor of ladies.
No, it's just one. You know, it's just his wife. Yeah, I mean, for starters, you know, it's just one girl. Probably got both of them working, but, like...
Our buddy Jack Murphy in the Heroes Talk Room. It's a restaurant.
So does that mean in like 15 to 20 years there's just going to be this whole army of strangers with this weird, unexplainable bond to this woman?
Oh, man, can you imagine?
No, because you don't feel an unexplainable bond to some cow that you see on
the street. No, but they always say if you're breastfed that you develop this like this stronger bond.
You're going to tell me that
that's because your mouth is on the person's breast. You don't remember think that they're allowing you to do that. What were you going to say, Chris?
No, no, it's fine.
Okay, then.
What? What happened?
Breast milk, gross.
I agree. Was that? Well, I'm so sorry. You were in the middle of your game show, and we got all sidetracked with cheesies.
The winner is Keith and Brian. Keith and Brian. They know the true opinions. Chris, you do not.
Yeah. If it's not mine, I'm really not all that interested, am I?
And especially if it's news. News, other people's news.
Awesome. Speaking of news...
current events?
Yeah, speaking of current events.
Speaking of you hearing voices in your head.
Speaking of me hearing voices in my head, my daughter did her homework this week. I was hanging out with my daughter this week, and I was helping her do her homework. And she's my daughter, for those that don't know, is in kindergarten. And she's doing a lot of letter work, a lot of number work, a lot of serious business. And this week's letter... it's not this week, but one day of the week's letter was letter V.
Oh, that's a hard one.
It was letter V. It's very. I think it's kind of nice.
I can't believe your daughter's already in kindergarten.
She is. Oh, time flies, let me tell
it
you.
It really does.
Oh,
that's
Jesus,
what
Brian.
Maybe it's crawled along for
to
you.
The bobtail.
You actually had to raise the person.
No, but. I feel like my kid was born yesterday. But that's, I mean, whatever. That's life. We're going to be all dead in 6 minutes. It's such is life. What are you going to do? I'm doing homework with my daughter, and it's the homework, like I said, the letter of the week is V.
Got to go to the skyline, down to the worm line, and back up to the skyline again. That's a...
Yeah, I don't know anything about that. I said, make a V. You know what you're doing. they taught you that at school, right? That's what they do it.
That's what you do it?
Ask your mother.
No, she knows what she... I said, do you know how to make a V? And she said, yes, and she showed me. I was like, oh, very good.
Just tell a V for victory.
I got to be honest. I spend myself a lot of time looking in. We actually have, like, the books that actually show it, because I know the way that I do things might not be the proper way to do things, so I want to check in.
Type the V key.
Yeah.
But, you could mess up a V, you think, though?
No, it's not that I could mess up the way that you do it. There are technically proper ways. This wasn't at all what my point was, but there are technically proper ways you're supposed to do it. Like, if you're supposed to start from one side and on the other, you can't do those.
Okay.
And they're supposed to get in the habit of
doing it.
I thought
you put little hooks at the top of each line or something.
When it gets to cursive writing, I definitely will mess up a lot of time. I bet you I can't do my full cursive alphabet. But that's neither here nor there. By second grade, it'll be full on not my responsibility. I'm out. I only have a first grade education. I can't
your
go
daughter's
past
in second grade already.
I can't even believe it. It seems like just a minute ago she was in kindergarten. You took my line before. I'm allowed to take yours this time. So we'll go into this. There's a bunch of pictures. It's a bunch of pictures together of words, of items. And the items, you have to circle all the items that start with the letter V. And there's a bunch of things in there, and she's circling them. And one of the items that's in it, she didn't circle, and it was a video cassette. And the thing is, I'm looking at this, I'm like, it's 2010. What the hell does my kid know from video cassettes? Granted, if she goes through daddy's milk crates of tapes of 90s episodes of Roy's War, I guess that she'll be able to find video cassettes.
If she goes through your tape, she's going to know to circle a different V.
No. Those are all, come on, those are all saved on a hard drive now. But, it annoyed me a little bit.
Tapes of the classic sci-fi series V.
Oh, my God, exactly. But, yeah, that took me a little bit back. I was like, this is stupid. I'm like, all right, whatever, they're using old books. It's fine. You know, we go on. We continue with it, and then the next thing in it is...
A vulva.
No, we go past it. Now it's actually to the point.
Good car.
They actually have sentences They have sentences and pictures next to them. And you have to draw a line from the picture of what you see to the line to what the sentence is. And there's a bunch of different pictures there. And one of the sentences was, I can't remember the girl's name. Let's call her for sake
Violet?
Of the argument. No, well, all right. We'll call her Violet for sake of the argument. It wasn't a V name, but it was, Violet has Vim, was what the question was. Violet has Vim. My kid is in kindergarten. My kid is in kindergarten. What five-year-old kid is supposed to know what Vim is?
I mean, I can understand vigor, but not Vim.
I just want to go on record. Far. I'm not even...
This is why I'm bringing it up.
Okay.
You made it obvious, so we're going to let you answer first. Keith, if you were to draw a picture of Violet having Vim, what would you draw a picture of? Would you be able to draw that line, or would it have to be a process of elimination of the other two answers?
I would think, how do you draw a vehicle identification number, then realize that's VIN, and realize that not only do I not know it, I've never heard the word Vim in my life.
When Brian really? Just said vigor, you've never heard of the idea of Vim and vigor?
No. She's got lots of Vim and vigor.
I like the cut of his jib.
It's true. Check out his games.
Ovaltine will give you Vim and vigor.
I've never heard Vim. I've heard Vigor plenty of times. I've never heard Vim.
I will tell you that I had to think for a second and say to my wife, wait, I think that means like, Fred, Violet has Vim. What would you draw a picture of for your school teacher?
I would say, who made up this worksheet because there's a spelling error? I would be like, I would. Never heard Vim.
You don't know what Vim is.
Never heard they Vim. Spelled AIDS wrong.
I never heard Vim.
What is Obama's Vim?
V-I-M.
V-I-M. Violet has Vim.
Oh, the store with all the sneakers.
BK Knights. That's where I buy my BK Knights.
Definitely never heard of it.
I would show a stick figure of a person like jumping in the air.
Our buddy Walter Sopcich bought the Violet Vim album record a few years ago. It was really fantastic.
So what was the actual picture of...
It was a picture of a young lady running, which would be just as good as someone jumping up in the air. Buddy Dr. X says, Vim means energy. Gentlemen, it's Vim and vigor. You give energy. She has energy. She has some sort of
insane.
Juice.
That's
it's
insane.
What you get from smoking Lucky Strikes.
Vitamin C.
4 out of 5 doctors.
Why couldn't they pronounce doctors back then? It's so weird.
Coca-Cola, now with more cocaine.
Brought to you by Monsanto.
So, did you get it right?
We had to tell her because she has no idea what Vim was.
Did you get it right?
My wife had to tell her because no, I knew what Vim was, but I for a second I thought it was like Vim. It's like energy. It's like she's got juice.
And the other two pictures are like were her crying and her being bored or something.
By process of elimination, the other ones. One was there were other pictures. I mean, like you know, because this is you know the beginning of reading stage.
Yeah.
So it was like you know. Michael goes dancing. Oh, Michael is dancing. Violet has Vim and whatever. I can't remember what the other one was.
They update their textbooks, man.
I was just going to say, it's old-timey
words.
It's public school, so the budget only allows for like a 1920 textbook.
You know,
although it has video, though.
If I told you what I pay for this private school, you would lose your mind. You'd lose your mind the amount of money I pay for it. But no, they didn't.
Well, then she better learn Vim.
Obviously, we're going to need some Vim and Vigor to move on with your life. Well, that's basically, I was a little taken aback by my daughter's homework this week, and I just wanted to share that with you fellas and the letter V.
Daddy really enjoys his Valium.
Well, I had a bunch of homework this week, and I've been doing very well with it. And I just like a pat on the back from everybody. No, but the one thing I've followed through with finally in my life is school. Yes, that's uncomfortable and awkward enough, Fred. But I was noticing the other day, I was all excited about doing something. I think it was concert tickets I wanted to buy. And there's a band from the 80s called The Primitives, and they're playing like a place right around here, actually, in May. And I was thinking, like, you know what? If I had money right now, I'd buy these. So hopefully, you know, by the time the show rolls around, I'm sure it won't be sold out and I can go and then... I was thinking it's probably better off that I don't buy the tickets till the day of the show. Because I have this really weird thing about liking to plan things, but not actually wanting to do them once it comes up. And it's not only like concerts, but concerts is one of the big things. I get excited about doing things. I make plans. I say, hey, let's do this. And other people that are actually normal people that like to follow through and actually do things then sort of want to hold me to it. And it gets to the point where it's just like, wow, I don't want to do this now. And the gamut of stuff that I will want to do is it's wide open. I mean, I want to volunteer at hospitals. I want to do all this kind of stuff. And then once it comes,
you want
down
to read
to
the
it,
New York Times on Sunday too, though. You don't want to volunteer at hospitals.
I've definitely
really
say, oh hell yeah, I've looked and I said yeah.
That's
so
gross.
That.
There's all
volunteer.
Sick people in there doing what? Doing
I have
surgery.
Them,
what do you have them in Vigor? It's true.
What could you do at a hospital?
You get tested on.
They need this already. They asking for volunteers, so I guess they need help. They asking, not there. They asking.
Seriously, you're not like kind of grossed out by a hospital. I know you have a topic that you want to discuss here, but I'm really grossed out by the idea of working in a hospital.
The hospital's not my first choice. I've gone on to volunteer sites, and I've in the past I've sent out emails to tons of volunteer sites, and I'm telling them, yeah, I want to volunteer, and then I'd start getting calls. And I'm like, damn it, now I gotta ignore these poor people that, like, would just think, oh, wow, look, some dude wants to help us, and, like, now he's just not gonna help. It's just, I love making plans. I love the idea of making plans. This is my problem with school for years, is I would love registering for classes, and then when it came time to do it, it would be like, I don't want to do this.
I'm gonna say that Keith is registered for classes either online or at school, I'm gonna say 1,683 times.
Wow.
And the fact that you made it through a semester, I'm already blown away.
I'm still blown away. I'm still thinking there's no way the second one, something's gonna go wrong at some point, but.
Do you have to pay for that when you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was in debt for a long time.
Wow.
But yeah, it's I just I love making plans. I had tickets to see The Cure, didn't go. I had tickets to see New Order, didn't go because it was a little cold that night. I think it was probably like 50 degrees. And I was just like, it just feels cold for some reason. I just don't want to go. These are bands I love.
Was this at a different time in your life? When was this?
No, it wasn't I wasn't sick for any reason.
You had meat on your bones.
New Order I might have been. A little sick for a different reason, or just unhealthy in general. But
you were feeling a little dopey about the fact that you shouldn't go. Is that
I was feeling saying? Sleepy and grumpy.
Okay, okay.
There's been a handful of times when Keith has like off the air made social plans to like go hang out at this specific bar for this specific show or something like that, 4 or 5 days in advance, even earlier. And when it comes. Not only just the day, like it'll happen 2 days before. It's like, yeah, I'm probably not going to show up. Not really any good reason. Like, there's nothing in your way or not rescheduled. You're just kind of done with the idea.
See, to me, that would seem like part of the planning stage that you would be into. I wouldn't imagine that you would be bailing so soon.
But, I mean, it's not like I'm, hey, Brian, you want to go to this place? Yeah, yeah. And you're like selling me on the idea, like making me interested.
Well, tell me about it.
And then 3 days later, he's like, all of a sudden, he's not going anymore.
Yeah, and I'll remember. But I'm like, oh man, who did I invite? And like, I've definitely had people go to things that they didn't necessarily intentionally go to because I told them, hey, we should do this, and then like they end up going, and then I'm just like, yeah, I can't go. And like, it's just like I don't go, and I don't want to do it. But I love the thing that's craziest to me about all of it is that I love the planning stage. I get excited about everything. I get excited about wanting to do things and. Honestly, it's probably good right now that I don't have money because I found a bunch of concerts that were happening in the spring. I'd probably buy tickets to all of them and go to none of them.
What is about that you don't want to go, though?
I just don't want to do things. I don't want to leave the house.
Is it the fear of, like, socializing with other people and you have nothing going on in your life that you have to now talk to? Or is it the actual going there, getting to the event?
Cut off after people. The fear of socializing with other people. A lot of times I just don't want to see people. I don't want to socialize with people. Not for any fear. I just don't want to have to go through the motions of seeing people. But it's not always that.
It's so weird, man, because I am so the exact opposite.
Yeah.
I love being out and doing things once I'm there. But I hate the idea of planning and getting ready to do stuff, whatever. Case in point, this Atlantic City get-together tomorrow night. The idea of who I'm picking up and driving, actually haven't had that conversation today. The planning, I was just like, ugh, just tell me what to do and I'll just be there. I can't be bothered with this. I want to be there. I want to be dancing and just wild and having a good time. I don't want to think, all right, I'll pick you up here at this time so we have this amount. Shut up. Let's just go. Let's just go and we're there and that's it. I hate a plan. I love a do. I want to be there. I don't want to be boogieing down. Like I said, not even just Atlantic City. It's always at the Bronx with me. But it's not even just that. It's just I'd like to be like out of the place. Like if someone says, "Hey, you want to go here?" Whatever. I don't want
to. And I always liked that Chris would say, "Yeah, I'm not going to that ahead of time." You know, like, "Yeah, I'm not going to that," because it would just be like, "I should just do that." And I've gotten better at that now. Now I'm kind of just like, I think of something and I say, you know what, I'm not going to go. So I'm just not even going to bother pretending that I'm going to go to that.
That's smart.
But there are things, and it's not even only that. I tape movies. I record movies. Oh. And I'm like, wow, I'm going to watch that. And then it's like, wait, I don't really want to see that. Why did I get all excited to record that movie? I don't want to see it at all. And I just record over it.
That happens to me all the time, except I don't record over it. Like, I'm convinced.
I keep them too. I accidentally record over it.
Oh, okay. You know? See, I get convinced that eventually I'll want to see this again because it's a really good movie. And I taped it for some reason. I'll definitely get around to doing this. 80% of my little DVR thing is clogged up with movies that I just like, nah, I don't feel in the mood
you
right now.
It's always the same thing. It's always like, oh, I don't want to invest the time. There's a movie called Appaloosa. It's like a Western from the last few years that I recorded. I downloaded it legally. I put it on a disc. I recorded it on the DVR. I've had it in a million different formats. I had it from Netflix for a while when I had Netflix. And I still, it always comes down to me just saying, yeah, I don't want to watch that movie. I got excited about having it multiple times. I didn't even learn my lesson the first two times. Returning it to Netflix and not watching what I downloaded. I'm like, oh, I'll record that and watch it. I love to plan, so I'll make plans for you. I should just be like a wedding planner or something, or like a party planner.
I say when the whole concept of doing
that's not exactly how it works.
But then I won't want to do the job.
Yeah, you actually have to do it. The thing.
The whole concept of trying to plan things when you got all excited up to do the first like Hear Us Talk. It wasn't the first Labor Day event. The first thing when we had the Church of Man Love play in the backyard. What was that for?
The Ron the Harbor show?
Yeah, Ron the Harbor. That's what it was. It was something like that. But you were like, weren't you like the spearhead behind that?
Certain things.
Okay.
And the Hear Us Talk events I've always been excited for. The shows.
Once they actually happen, I'm excited. But once they're there, but actually going there and fighting with bar owners or what you're going to do, I have no desire to get involved with any of that.
Nobody likes that stuff.
But even if it wasn't a fight, even if it was like, hey, you guys can come here and they're going to be 26 virgins that are just going to bang you the whole time. Well, maybe that conversation I'd have. But even if there wasn't anything particularly bad that was
it's
coming
just the
with
idea.
It, I just, ugh, I don't want to have to function.
You know what? A good point. The first Labor Day thing.
I don't want to have to function was actually my assessment of
my
the situation.
Good point, what I credited as a good point.
Right. Exactly. I'm with you.
Functioning. That's what sucks. The first Labor Day thing.
Dr. X suggested Keith should host a movie critique show called Siskel and Unwatched.
You know, I had wondered about that, if this sort of flakiness ever got you in trouble. Like if you committed to something with a friend or even just watching a movie or something like that, and then you never did but didn't want to out yourself in front of that friend, if you like said, oh yeah, it was a great movie, I really enjoyed the show that I never attended or something like that.
Oh, if I've lied about seeing something?
Yeah, just to cover your ass. Just to show them that you're not.
Oh, work stuff, yeah.
Well, I mean...
Everyone yeah, like I'd be like, I could get.
Yeah, I listened to that episode of Best in Show when I was stuck at work. It was great. You guys were really on that night.
Yeah, I've definitely like. There's probably been times, but it's bad because I'll forget. You know, like, and most people don't call you on it because they don't, you know, really, they don't remember themselves because most people don't care about stuff that doesn't really involve them. Luckily, mm-hmm. But it's probably happened. I'm sure it's happened at times. But that first Labor Day event when I think I was probably like. Doing a lot of the like trying to figure out like where the details of like things that were like you know the band's
yeah,
playing
like what?
And stuff.
Like what is that? That's the thing.
The setup and
the big plan for something like that. Was there anything really all that hard?
Well, that's what
about
I'm saying. Once it came down to it, because there was a lot of. Hey, I heard you guys are doing a thing. You know, these guys want to play. Oh, but now these cool. guys want to play and stuff. Oh, but we can't. And then, you know, like Ron had issues with the neighbors and wanting to cut off at a certain time. And what time are we going to start? And I don't know, like maybe some of you guys didn't want to do it at a certain time. It was just – got to the point where it was starting to get frustrating. And I was thinking, what the hell did I ever open my mouth up about this for?
I'm thinking the planning should go something like this. All right, you could be one of the bands. Yo, dude, we're doing this thing in the backyard. What do you say?
Yeah, I want to play.
Cool. There it is. That's planning. We just did the planning.
Okay, what about you're the guy that has a full bill? Hey, man, you guys are playing. Yo, can we play?
Nah.
That's the difference.
Nah, sorry.
Chris,
actually,
I'm your mother.
Not even sorry. What would you say?
Chris, I'm your mother, though.
F you. Oh, excuse me then. Nah, F you.
I am guilty of constantly making plans to go out to dinner with my wife, and they just never come to fruition.
With your grown-up friends?
With my grown-up friends, talk about Obama health plans, never come to fruition, never. To the point where I think I had gotten a gift certificate to go to a really expensive restaurant in Manhattan, never used it, never even used
it. It expired? Did it expire?
Yes, I think so. It was about $250 to go to Nobu.
That's kind of gross. So.
Never did.
I got my girlfriend for her birthday last year a gift certificate to get a tattoo. We had to call. It expired in 1 year. We had to call and get an extension on it because that's how much there was. Just like, yeah, not today. Yeah, not today.
But that gift certificate was to the our friends that gave us live tattoos on the air here on Best in Show. I'm sure that worked that out for you.
Constantly saying, "Oh, we're going to go out to dinner this weekend," and then you know we just wound up ordering in.
What happens when you talk to the person who gave you that gift?
I don't think they'll ever find out. I hope so. Sorry, Charlie.
Dr. X is suggesting that Fred flakes out by saying he's broke his leg in a car accident all the time.
I broke my grandmother's leg.
The restaurant's not wheelchair accessible, so I can't go. But I also hate making plans. I mean, making plans is probably the biggest bunch of bull ever. Yeah. Oh, forget it.
Yeah, I hate the whole idea behind it, too.
I don't want to be in charge of anything.
I just want to be there. Let's just be there. Let's just be hanging out. Everything will be great. Like right now, I don't want to say, hey, guys, call this phone number. I just want to be in the phone call magically. Who's this?
This is Ken from New Jersey. How you guys doing?
Hi, Ken from New Jersey. How are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I had gotten a gift certificate for a massage from a coworker. First of all, I don't like massages. The idea of it, somebody being rubbed down, it's not my thing. And the guy, I guess, thought that this would be a great idea to just give someone, you know, that you don't really know. Gives me a $70 or $80 for a massage. I end up just, like, never using it. And, like, a month later, he starts his weekly asking of, so, did you go for the massage yet?
How's that rub out?
And then I said no. He's like, yeah, I know. I know. I asked Holly if you'd come in, and she said no.
Wow.
And then like week after week, keep asking. No, how's the massage? And like I know he knows that I didn't use it.
Why did you ask Holly?
And eventually he says, you know, if you're not going to use it, you just give it back to me. I'll use it. So I give it back to him. Like, I basically got no gift from the guy. Not that I care, but, like, you know, just you give the gift and then you leave it at that. Have you ever had a follow-up for a gift card to somebody?
I'm trying to think if that's – I've never been given any sort of thing. You know what? Actually, I've never been given a gift like that. But one of the guys that we work with, we actually had a contest at work. I don't know if you guys remember, maybe about a year or so ago, we were I was obsessively growing a mustache that actually started out of an ill-conceived Best in Show bit. And then it started getting around my office that a bunch of guys, we were all growing mustaches at the same time to see who would be the last person to shave it. And the guy who actually won the mustache competition, we gave him his gift certificate to The Art of Shaving. And after about a month, he's like, yeah, I'm not going to use this. I'm not going to go someplace to get shaved. And he handed it back to us. So I personally have never not used it. Whatever, I'll try anything. Unless it's Nobu, that'd be gross.
Breast milk.
I've been in the process of trying to politely Indian give something to Chris for the last couple of weeks, actually.
Of mine?
Of mine. I gave you something, and I've been trying to sort of get it back. Many months ago, I lent you, because I would never use it again, hey, you know, take this and play it at your leisure. And now that I know that you're not going to play it, I kind of want to lend it to somebody else.
To Pristine?
Right, so I keep sort of hinting at, hey, can I get this? I'll give it back to you after he's done with it.
I'm sorry, Mr. Oh, was that me? I was,
He hates you.
He hates, I'm sorry, Ken from New Jersey. He's really something familiar about that guy. I can't quite place it. I can't figure out exactly what it is. Tuesday's,
I think I made plans with him once and I didn't keep him.
Yeah, more than likely. Well, Tuesday's like 9 o'clock or so. I really think about him a lot for some reason. I don't know what it is. I hope I see him tomorrow night in Atlantic City. If I knew that you really wanted it back, I don't care.
I just wanted someone else to.
You could have
play
it forever,
it.
Dude. I'll never play the game. I played it for 10 minutes one night. And it was stupid. I gave the ice shirt a better chance than I gave Dead Space. Really? I have no interest in it whatsoever.
I almost wanted to read the ice shirt again. Nice. Sidetrack. I don't know why.
I mean, it was during my mandate with Pristine. He came to the table with all these incredible video games to lend me, and I had crap to give him.
By the way, I just want to say I love our listeners, and I love that there are people out there that do it. I didn't even look down at the screen to see that Dr. X said, was it the ice shirt that he was loading you? It's amazing. I love that people actually remember this stupid crap that we do. Yeah, no.
Dr. X is actually William T. Vollman.
Wow. Was it my book? Did you read my book? Yeah, you know what? Tomorrow, and I'll when I'm in Atlantic City, I'll give it to. Oh wait, that's right. Neither you or Pristine are going to be there.
Pristine will be there.
Oh, is he really?
Yes, guaranteed arrival. He's going to be. He's bringing his PS3, so that will be nice.
Fantastic.
In the hotel room playing that game.
So you won't actually see him
now. I just have to
in the real world.
I need to figure out how to tape that disc back together. That's the problem. Oh man.
I want to make some new plans. Right now.
What plan is that?
You guys. I will be here next week for Best in Show Radio.
Wow. That's on a, you know what?
Ooh, wow. What's the date again?
I don't even want to think about it. If I'm here, I'm here. If I'm here, I'm here. I will rock. If not, I won't. Fred, you in? I'm not planning this, by the way. So answer Keith. He wanted to know. It was the voice in my head that's asking, not me.
As long as it's not in the Bronx, I'm in.
Yeah, you know what it is? I'm jealous of people that like want to do things. I think that's what it is. Like that's what this really comes down to. There's people that like want to do things. They want to have active, like busy lives, and I just don't. I don't want to like leave the house. I don't want to like.
This is all symptoms. These are all symptoms. See, but it's not all symptoms of where your depression's at, because even before you were in this place that you're at now, this is a long running
thing. For years, when.
Oh my God! We had so many great bands that never recorded one song.
Of course. And what about the fact that there's?
What about?
How many Best in Show musicals have I gotten Fred all excited about? Oh, let's do this! Let's do this! Let's do this! Over the course since Fred joined Best in Show, and I've tried to get him into all these musical ideas, and it just still hasn't happened yet.
True. Remember that time we decided we were going to try and do something funny on that next week's show? Oh man!
I knew that wasn't going to
happen. You guys still working on your science fair project,
dude? That's the one thing I'm psyched for. I was thinking about it today. I was all excited thinking about the science fair. It's not planning the event. It's just planning my own personal involvement in it. I was excitedly thinking about somehow trying to make a fossil of some sort. I think that's what...
Make a fossil? Do you understand what a fossil is?
Yes.
So...
That's why it's a science project. I'm going to make a fossil. It's going to be awesome.
That's how long it's going to be until a science fair occurs?
Maybe I will do it in some sort of controlled environment where it'll happen.
The next science fair will be 100 generations from now.
Fossils. It's going to be awesome.
Did any of you guys ever like buy like event tickets and not use them, or like for some reason other than like you just absolutely couldn't, or did you ever just decide, yeah, I don't feel like doing that? My cousin wanted to go with me. She picked up tickets to. Do you guys remember a band? What was it like? Buffalo Tom, I think they were called.
Buffalo Springfield was actually what they were called.
It was the Buffalo Bills. Actually, were playing the Jets.
Awesome! Now, I couldn't make that game. I was sick.
There was a band called Buffalo Tom, and I made plans with my cousin. She's like, "All right, I'll buy the tickets," and she bought the tickets. And then I was like, that day, I was like, "Yeah, I don't know. It's raining out and stuff. Like, I don't think I want to go." So then a couple of years later, this band.
Did you pay for the ticket?
I don't remember.
No, of course you
probably.
Didn't.
Intended to.
It's a difference between whether you stiffed somebody or whether it's you just. You
this
just
was a while ago. It was probably $10.
So it doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't count. And then a couple of years later, the Fountains of Wayne were playing somewhere, and she's like,
Wayne, New Jersey.
She's like, no, Wayne, New Jersey.
Where were they playing?
I don't go there with you.
Why
she's like,
fall?
And she said, are you sure you're gonna go to this? Because like, I don't want this to be like the Buffalo Tom thing. And I was just like, yeah, I'll go. And then sure enough, that morning, like there was a light snow, and I called. I was like, yeah, it's snowing
Fact that it was prefaced with, I don't want it to be another Buffalo Tom thing. I don't want it to be another one of those events. Like,
oh, don't sweat it. I'm not that bad.
But it has this whole mystique and this aura, like this thing that. Happened. You can't do it again, can you? Can you?
Yes,
and you do.
And you also, between that and missing a Sweet 16, I think she was sure I wasn't going to do it again.
You also picked the two worst bands in the world. I mean, it's Buffalo Tom and Fountains of Wayne. Like if it was a David
Stop
Bowie concert,
children, what's that sound? Everybody, look what's going.
I was supposed to go to a David Bowie concert when I was 14, but I couldn't.
Because you were too young.
I was going to go with my mom. I was actually 11, and I was going to go with my mom.
Did you make your mom go alone?
No, our car broke.
Mom, I'm not really
That's what started it. That's the moment in my childhood that started all this.
That's why I don't want to follow through with plans.
Way to make a stretch. It all is because of your mother. Yeah. Great. Good job.
No, it's not her fault. She didn't
build the car. If she would have bought a better car.
Do you ever get stuck
on the Chevy people. It's whoever made Citations.
Do you ever get stuck on the other side of that stick? Like, did you ever go out and buy the tickets and now have to deal with all these extra tickets and figure out what to do with it?
The last time I bought concert tickets, I bought concert tickets to see Blur. It was in the late 90s. I bought concert tickets for three mutual friends of definitely mine and Chris. One of them was a good friend of ours who passed away, who handed me money immediately.
Never forget.
The other two never even offered me money for the tickets. Yeah. And from that point on, I said I no longer buy concert tickets for people.
And they went? They went with you?
Yeah,
and
they went. They jumped out of the car and said, hey, you got those tickets? And so I gave it to them, and then it never came up, and there was definitely...
Can I ask a question? When one of them has, they said, yo, you got those tickets?
No, really?
It's not him?
Nah. He would have... he might have done it too, but...
Okay.
but that was not the first time that happened. It wasn't them the other times, but there had been plenty of times where I'd bought tickets to things, and people were just like, oh, I don't have the money, and it's just like, all right, well, pay me whenever, and that never happened.
That is dirty.
I did that for a My Bloody Valentine show not too long ago. I had to buy, like, six tickets or something, and they were ridiculously expensive for people to show up.
And Pickle from the Awful Hour still owes you for them?
No. The people who decided they didn't show up, they pulled a Keith, and they just, like, didn't want to show up that day. I basically just had to see if I could cover it. So I'm the guy out in front of the venue attempting to scalp tickets for, like, a reasonable price out on there. And, like, all the scalpers are coming out up to me offering me, like, 10% of the ticket price. No, I want to get the actual money for it. People like this band. Someone's going to pay a lot for it. So now I'm fighting with the bouncers who want to beat me up because I'm taking their business away from them and also, like, risking getting arrested so I can try to, like, make my money back on this thing.
The Life of Brian. Monty Python's The Life of Brian.
By the way, there's very few things in the world that I like more than when something isn't mentioned on the air specifically and then the names of the people who didn't get those tickets are shown to me on a piece of paper. I love it. I feel like I'm in the know right now.
No, they got the tickets. I didn't get my money.
Yeah, same difference. Same difference. I actually have a ticket to. I have a ticket that I still have in. What do you call that? Not ripped in non-use.
Your wallet.
In undoneness status.
Whole, complete.
I have a complete ticket that has been unripped, untorn ticket because it was unused for a veil playing at the Wetlands, which is who would care about?
Are you
that?
Suggesting that the show has passed and the unripped one is somehow more valuable than a ripped ticket?
No, it's just that I never showed up. I didn't show up the same way that the topic that we're talking about here, the idea of not showing up. It's an unripped and unused ticket that I just saved the ticket like, oh, yeah, and then just never used it. I wish I would have went to that show. That's really all I have to say about that.
You never had a wrestling show that you bought a ticket to and couldn't get
it? I was at every wrestling show that I bought a ticket to and ones that I didn't even pay for I showed up at.
You Woodstocked them?
I love a wrestle. I will love a wrestle till the day I'm dead.
Did you ever go to WrestleMania?
I never went to a WrestleMania.
I'm sorry.
Until now? My birthday
I think
present?
On Sunday?
Oh, no.
Isn't it?
No. Is it?
Yeah, isn't it March?
No, it's like April or something. I don't know.
Not right now?
I don't pay attention to wrestling anymore so much. I try watching it, but I don't know. I've always went to wrestling. I'm trying to think if there's anything that I missed big like that. Like I said, the Avail show, and I missed... I think I even talked about it a couple of shows back. The fact that I regret that I missed going to football games a couple of times. I never saw Dan Marino play. Actually, our buddy Jack Murphy was in the chat room. I missed going to a football game with him more than once, I'm sure, because I always just never do things.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Like I want to, and now it's just like now that's fun. But the tickets to anything are ridiculous now. Like I was looking at Met tickets, and.
I'm sorry. I was just blown away by Keith Wu's assessment in the chat room that this is a show about a bunch of off-duty doctors who enjoy professional wrestling. That's a description of what Best in Show is now. Talking about health issues the entire time and wrestling.
How much are you paying for a Met ticket?
I'm not paying.
$200?
You know what? Let all the Mets that were supposed to be healthy this year not be out till June, like we're finding out every day, and maybe I'll pay for a ticket if I have money. But yeah, the tickets are ridiculous.
Like I'm saying, like nosebleed seats. Can you pay $100 and get a seat?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but they sell four packs of tickets. Four tickets to four games, and I'm looking at it, and I see it, and they're not good seats at all. And I'm looking at the tickets, and I'm like, wow. I'm looking at it and I see $400. I'm like, $400 just for four tickets to four games. They're not good seats. They're not any special games or anything. I'm like, that's honestly ridiculous. Then I realized that's to one of the four games. And I scroll down and see the price for the four is $1,265.
How else are they going to pay the guys that aren't actually going to play that get paid? How else, you know?
And then that's not before you spend $50 on food if you're going to get a hot dog or a...
You mean $5 bags of Skittles that used to be bigger and now they're just regular bags of Skittles or smaller?
Is that just the new stadium? Or is this just, like, that's the price that you pay?
The prices are ridiculous anyway, but now that they have the new stadium, they just... And forget the Yankees, because the Yankees are actually good and won the World Series, and so their prices are just, like... I don't even know. Is there a Yankee ticket that's less than, like, $500 now?
Sure. That's the only sporting event I ever went to was a Yankee game. Never been to any other sporting events.
Football. Did they win?
I don't even know.
I hope they lost.
It wasn't even that ingrained in my memory.
Sorry, Ed McGrath.
but I
won't get tickets, though, because I won't go.
And you have no money.
Well, yeah, that's why I won't get tickets. But even if I did, I that's why I said I would waste the money and I would not go. I'm done. Awesome. I'm done doing things.
I think we're all done. I think we're done with this this fine program called Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Thanks to everybody for checking us out and hanging out and having a magnificent time. Special thanks to our buddy Dominic Monacode and our friend Ken from New Jersey that called in and were part of the program. Was there anybody else?
Something about cheese?
Your voice.
Yeah, I don't know. Something about cheese?
So call about
oh, that's right. Like the voice from my dreams actually called in as well.
Awesome. From the Bronx.
Obviously. I think that's about it, right?
I have an unused Soup Dragons ticket at home.
Awesome.
Rob Giggs was supposed to go to that.
What a jerk. Can I give it to him tomorrow night?
If I still have it.
Atlantic City. I hope to see you guys there. The Tropicana. It's going to be awesome with all your Heroes Talk friends. Culture Enema. DJ New Style Show. The Awful Hour. Everyone! Everyone you've ever heard of. Just come. It's going to be great. Cocky Socks. Steamroller. Roll up your face. We'll see you guys on the radio. 88. Peace.
Thank you, Brosillion.
Thank you, 29783. We love you. And every time I see your
face, you know I saw you. Thank you to my cousin Kent for picking up those Coachella tickets and the plane tickets to California. I'll be there and I'll pay you.
Thanks to I Have Falling Sometimes.
Thanks to Vim.
Forget Vigor.
Thank you, Rockers.
Thanks to my campaign manager.
The real one or me?
Yes.
Bob Log.
Entertaining talk radio. Broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be.